Hey, how goes it?
Welcome, sir.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you well.
Excellent.
This is going to be fun. 15 years, huh? We can remedy that tonight. So,
It's more than that, I'm sure.
yeah,
Gosh, I used to play it hardcore at the tail end of junior high and the beginning of high school.
perfect.
And yeah, I did some tournaments and all kinds of stuff. But I cannot remember. It's been years since I played a TCG, so
Really.
it should be interesting. I
I
remember the scrap yard.
yeah, scrap heap.
I remember tapping cards.
Fair
That's about where it rises and falls right now. So,
enough. Well, I figured we can use this kind of as a tutorial walkthrough as we go through, and I can talk to you about kind of what we've been doing to kind of move the game forward and enjoy some new cards, tweaking some of the kind of
sweet.
older rules that have kind of grown stale over the years, and yeah, it should be fun.
I'm looking forward to it, dude. I remember loving this card game. And this is what got me into Battletech, actually. This is
Really?
what the little booklet that was included in the starter box is, I still say, like the most underrated primer on the lore of the world of Battletech up until, the Clan era. It
Awesome.
is so underrated. That little booklet with the here's the history of the Inner Sphere so far.
Yep.
So underrated.
Yeah, it's I had first played it when I was a teen, but there was nobody in my area that was interested in it. I think I remember playing like two or three games where I convinced my friends who were playing Magic to try it, and then just got set on the shelf. And I pulled it. It was I think it's 2018 that I pulled out my old BattleTech stuff. I had my old file folder box, my kind of legal box and BattleTech stuff, and I pulled it out and I was like, oh, I need to get back into this. And I had my cards, and I was like, oh, I didn't have too many. I was like, oh, I'll just sell these and buy some other stuff. And I did, and I sold all my cards. And then, like, 6 or 7 months later, I had played the tabletop with my girlfriend, but she didn't really, it was too slow for her. And I had been convinced her to go to some Destiny drafts at a local game store, and she had kind of enjoyed that. So I was like, oh, maybe she'll enjoy the TCG. And so I went back online, bought a couple starters, and we played, and it was, it's. I found that she's not that great for games because as soon as it swings out of her direction, she's done. And I'm like, sometimes it swings back. You got to fight sometimes when you're the underdog. And also, she never built her own decks, and so I was building all the decks. And part of the TCG is just facing things that you didn't expect. And so when you're always playing a deck that you built, it wasn't too fun. But and then I got connected with the community online, and through Renegade HVG, one of my earliest podcasts was with Michael Todd, who at the time was helping Bob Charette liquidate all of his old BattleTech collectibles. And I really wanted to connect with Bob Charette for conversation. He was my favorite BattleTech author,
Great author.
and I reached out to Michael Todd, and he had made three fan-made TROs, like full volumes, very, very incredible work from a fan. And so we recorded a podcast talking about that. And Michael had been, he had year maybe like a couple of years before had some friends, and they put together a template to make some custom cards, and the cards look great. And so we got to talking about that. And after our conversation, he forwarded me the templates, and so I just started kind of going to town with making my own little kind of fan-made cards and custom cards, and then I spent countless. That was like my main go-to distraction hobby for like a year and a half, and I just dove into making custom cards and redoing them, and kind of figuring out how to balance and learning the old game again, and kind of trying to learn it at a higher level, and that's kind of where we've gone to now,
Did you find
where
a way to make the blackjack not shit?
I did. I think I did. I think I did. Actually, I've got. We made this custom here. I'll pull it out. So here's my
Oh, love it.
blackjack. And
Oh,
so,
love it.
yeah,
My favorite
HBS.
medium, and yes, I'll admit this out
Very
loud in front of witnesses.
cool. Yeah, and that art actually even lends to kind of like a full art treatment. And so I printed
Isn't
those
that
up.
the art from is it Heir Apparent, the stack pole thing?
It
Or am
is.
I crazy?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Actually, is it? No, this is from HBS BattleTech, because Jin Rabin is the artist, so it has to be an HBS BattleTech. But there,
Well,
I think I
Heir
know.
Apparent was the it was the lead-in novella into the
Oh,
game.
okay.
Yeah,
Then
so it
yeah.
might be the same art, yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, and I when I was I had been doing all the art, you know, just to enjoy myself, but I didn't want to. I wanted to kind of share what I was doing with other people and do some giveaways through Renegade HPG. I didn't want to take liberties with art that didn't belong to me. And so there were some great artists in the community, fan art, you know, DC Bruins and Florian Melli's done some great art. And so I distributed some cards with their art for free to people who asked for it. And then I reached out to HBS, to Mitch over at HBS, probably what, about a year ago now, to see if he'd be okay with me using the art for cards to give away and to use as prizes for the online events that we've been doing. And yeah, he gave the thumbs up. And since then, I've also gotten permission from CGL and PGI to do the same. And so it's been awesome kind of sharing it with everybody and kind of pushing through. You know, you get kind of the pushback from the old school guys when you introduce something new, and then you have all the new people coming in who just love the whole, you know, the new art, and they just want to play with cool things. So
yeah, I don't get the pushback, because it's like a fan thing, and it's like, okay, if I fuck up, you know, this can change, right? Like I could just change this.
I'm not gonna come into your house and like force you to play with these cards at gunpoint. You will probably never see them beyond these pixels on your screen temporarily until you continue scrolling. But you'd be surprised how offended people are that other fans might, you know, create a project or cards of their own.
But yeah, this game right here inculcated me into Battlefield. This came around at the same time that, or around the same time that multiplayer Battletech Solaris came out, and I played the hell out of that game. It was one of the first MMOs ever made, and it was Battletech, because of course, and it was great. Used to play it on GameStorm all the time, and we literally, myself and my friend who was from China. I don't know if Battletech was big in China or whatever, but he was like spreading he would just deliver sermons on Battletech, this guy. He was fresh off the boat from Beijing. Yeah. He loved the game. Mm-hmm. And so he got me into it. He got me into the multiplayer Battletech and then into the TCG. We would literally stop playing Battletech and start playing Battletech in card form.
I've never heard of that Solaris video game. That you said that came out late 90s?
Yeah, it was on AOL for a while. You would have to pay, and then once AOL started charging for it, mm-hmm. They jumped over. A bunch of people jumped over to a service called GameStorm, which was an early. You could pay a monthly fee. It was like $10 or $15, and they had a bunch of proprietary video games you couldn't play anywhere else. So these games have never been played by anyone. One of the first MMORPGs, Legends of Kesmai. Aliens Online, Godzilla Online, and Battletech, multiplayer Battletech was one of the big selling points. I think they had two different versions. They did the one in like 96 that was an early online MMO. Okay. You had your, it was crazy too, because like nowadays you have clans that you register on MMOs or whatever, but back then it was like the fans of Battletech were totally driving it all. So they like would change their usernames to reflect the clans. Before long, you had this elaborate like inner sphere politics thing going on where House Karita was literally invading House Davian, and like it was you had the overworld map, but you know what I mean, the inner sphere map.
Yep.
And it would change from game to game, but it was built around the MechWarrior 2 engine, I believe.
Okay.
And so it, just imagine playing MechWarrior 2 in a massively online multiplayer environment. And then I think, if I remember correctly, the Inner Sphere map was up there on the screen, and you could like go to different planets and drop there, and there were just matches there. Okay. It had a pretty high player population for that era. But yeah, there's very little footage of it anymore, on even on YouTube or whatever, but it was big for a minute. So that and the Battletech CCG, I would love for somebody, some fan to like put together some kind of thing like that, you know, kind of like what happened with Asheron's Call when that was taken down or whatever. That'd be neat. But that was a big part of getting into Battletech for me. That and the cartoon was on around that time too, if I remember correctly.
Yep, 96, 97. I think it was November 96 was the episode.
That's a good time to be a Battletech fan, man.
It was.
Good time.
I just remember, I remember how excited, because I probably started Battletech, it would have been 91, I think. My older stepbrothers introduced me to it. And then I spent years where I just had kind of like the original MechWarrior RPG source book, and I would kind of build build characters, and I would build a custom mechs on my own. And then I was into the novels, and I was reading the novels a ton, you know, so much that in middle school, my middle school English teacher was like, "Travis, your book reports are great, but I want you to do a different kind of book." Because every week I was doing a book report on a new Battletech novel. And it was awesome. And yeah, and I remember did you get
the personal pan pizzas from Pizza Hut for those?
Of course I did. Of course I did. Read it, I think it was. I actually just mentioned that to my girlfriend the other day.
Oh, dude, I tore through the entire Redwall series and Battletech and the Rogue Squadron books. You have no idea how many pizzas I got for them.
Yeah. Yeah, I told Mike Stackpole when we were chatting last, I was like, I was when Rogue One comes out, we'll have to reconnect. And then, of course, you know, that's not working out too well. But Rogue
One. He lives out here in I think Scottsdale around here. Yeah, he does little store signings here and there. I've seen him every now and then.
Okay. He's a ton of fun to talk to. Very.
Yeah, he seems like a cool guy.
Very, very, very energized, engaged. It was good times.
I just love when the authors love to geek out as much as, you know, when I got to talk to Plain Pardo, he was just geeking out about one item of lore or one mech or whatever, you know, like it's just freaking, I love that kind of stuff because that's the same kind of stuff that I'm into. So
one I would love to connect with is Timothy Zahn. I loved his original Star Wars books, and I always I'm on his Facebook page, and he's always popping up at little conventions here and there. But that'd be a good one.
Did you ever get into Heavy Gear at all?
I didn't
back in the day. I did play the game. It's pretty good back in the day. I remember that. And the tabletop is actually supposed to be pretty boss. Incidentally, kind of a. It's sort of like BattleTech, but confined to Earth.
Okay.
Sort of. Okay. It's like a post-apocalyptic, we have just shit-hammered the entire planet kind of a scenario, and everybody's got to fight with giant robots, right? So, but it's good. It's very similar. It has a lot of the same appeal as BattleTech in terms of the gameplay, but it's really not a bad one.
Definitely. Yeah, it was. Those mid-90s was definitely the time to be. You know, when MechWarrior 2 came out, oh man, that was awesome. And I don't think the original MechWarrior gets enough love because it had that kind of roaming story, the RPG element to it. That was awesome. And then, I mean, I would just run around a Locust with machine guns blowing people's legs off because they couldn't shoot me.
That was multiplayer BattleTech right there. you would literally have matches that were set up that had on the side of the title of the match, no legging. Because, dude, once you were legged, it was done. You were like my friend used to play as a catapult a lot, right? Yeah. Can you imagine a catapult with no legs? It's literally just a cockpit sitting on the ground. It was so bad.
It reminds me.
It was
me
fun
of,
in its own way. It was it early PC jank.
Yeah, that reminds me of the Black Knight from Monty Python before his final cut, you know, hopping around on one leg.
Yes.
That would be the catapult that's been legged. Awesome.
No, it was even worse than that. If you took out one of the catapult's legs, he would just lean over and fall over to the side. It was genius, dude. It was absolutely genius.
Awesome.
Good times. So yeah, as far as figuring out how to make a deck here.
Okay.
I'm gonna give myself the greatest handicap a player can. I'm gonna play as House Merrick.
They've got the best mission in the game, or one of the best missions in the game.
Do that.
Yeah, okay, cool. Blitzkrieg. That's the one.
I don't think I ever played as House Merrick back in the day. Yeah. I think I back in the day I was more of a Steiner guy, I think. Okay. And you know, when I became a man, I put away childish things and I joined House Merrick.
Awesome.
needed the ultimate handicap.
And just let me know. So you were able to get the Lackey installed and both plugins. Mm-hmm. And then we have the Organized Play plugin. So that's the BTTCGOP. And so for anyone watching, you basically, once you get Lackey set up, you would just go to this Browse Installed Plugins, pick the folder. There's no executable files here for anyone watching. You just basically download, undo the zip file, put it on your computer, and you go.
Plop it in the folder.
Yeah, and then there's multiple. Actually, I just released this what I would call a classic. So it's only WotC cards. And then the BattleTech Tactics is the other big fan project to kind of expand the game. But with the OP plugin, basically what I've done is we've gone through all of the old WotC organized play rules, stripped out all the cards that have been banned, changed all the cards that have been eroded, and then any cards that got revised in later sets, we removed the original ones because they're not playable. And then any for my own sets, so we've got two kind of proto expansions going. We have Revival, which focuses on all the 30-50 clan units and all the 30-25 inner sphere units. And then the Helm expansion, which is going to focus on all the 30-25 or the 30-50 inner sphere units. And so those we got about 200 cards between those and the plugin so far. Basically, it's kind of a, you know, I spend as much time as I can kind of tuning them and then kind of put them out the community and then just try to get feedback and kind of fine tune them as we go. And since we're not printing millions and millions of copies of them, you know, there's no reason for us not to tweak things if we find out it's broken. And so that's what this has kind of been. But my cards are easy to identify because they're all white border. But yeah, so we popped some good ones, and there's a lot of units from the original game that were just, like you said, with the blackjack, you know, just wasn't necessarily useful, playable. And so a lot of those I've gone through and revisited the costing and the card conversion and made updated versions. I definitely, for the original game, the later sets, probably the latter two sets, was when they really kind of dialed in their card costing formula. And so there's a huge difference between the later sets and the early sets for just balance and what's useful. And so a lot of those early ones, we've gone down and redid them, you know.
Now I need to take another look at the cards and how everything's set up. The bottom right is that the cost or the power? I can't remember which it is.
The bottom right number. Bottom right number is their attack value.
Attack value. Okay. I knew that was a significant number. Okay.
Definitely. And then the top left number is the cost. And so that's telling you, and we call that the base cost. And so that mech is going to cost 3 no matter what. Now you'll get other mechs. Let's pull up, I think, like this hoplite. So the hoplite has a 1 base cost and then 1 M. And so there are different kinds of supports. You know, as this was a Richard Garfield game, I think it was the second or third after Magic. And so a lot of the kind of resource systems have parallels. They rhyme. You know, they're not necessarily photocopies, but there are munitions, assembly, politics, tactics, and logistics supports. And so this 1M is basically saying that if you don't have munitions in play, you have to pay 1 extra. All right. A lot of new players will confuse that. They think that that means that, let's say you have another card. You know, let's see. We've got Natasha's Warhammers here. So we got 5 base cost, 3L. So that doesn't mean you have to have 3 logistics. It just means that if you don't have any logistics, you have to pay an extra 3. If you do have logistics in play, all you got to pay is 5. So that's the costing. Gotcha. And then the bottom left is your armor structure. And so the structure and armor combined is its total life. But every time you do battle, the armor replenishes. And so if we engaged in a battle and you did 4 damage to this unit, it would take 2 to its structure and then 2 to its armor. And so you'd put 2 tokens on the mech to represent that structure damage. But in the next battle, that armor replenishes. So then it would essentially be a 2-4 unit. And there are ways to repair it, but the armor just keeps going. And you can engage in multiple battles per turn. You know, depends on, you would just have to figure out a way to untap it, or you can actually attack a given mech, and even if it's tacked, it can defend itself, things like that.
Oh my god, the Huron Warrior is in here. Sorry. ugly mech. I got to tell Blaine Pardo to his face that I think it's ugly because he designed it.
Well, he wasn't the artist, right? Was he, you know,
he did design it. I don't know if he visually designed it, but I know he came up with a concept for it because it's something about his background in Michigan or something that he wanted.
Yeah, I feel like
the ugliest
a Joel Bisque or a Dana Knutson design.
Right. It's like it has a flying saucer on its back.
Definitely. What else on the cards? So the S there is the speed. So you have in the original game, you had slow, moderate, and fast. I've actually expanded the speed brackets to include extra slow, which is things like the Urban Mech Annihilator, which existed in the original game. They just kind of they explained its ability in card text instead of just having a speed band. And then for the extra fast, instead of putting extra fast in the original game, they gave it that the dash ability, which is where it skipped. It basically immediately deployed instead of having the traditional kind of one turn where it stayed in construction before it moved up. And so in the revised rules that we were doing, we eliminated that ability and just replaced it with the extra fast. And the speed is important because when you're attacking, you can only be blocked by units of the same speed or faster. And you can also attack individual units if they are slower than you. And so adding an extra speed band allows you to kind of, you can send a dasher after a locust, for instance. So I want to call it dasher. We call it a fire moth here. But that was an easy way to distinguish the some of the new clan cards from the old ones is we just use their Innersphere designation. But yeah, and so some of these cards don't have art, but most of them do. They look amazing. But yeah, the so you can see here on the bottom half is the card table, and so you can just start typing in whatever the card is, and you can find it.
Right.
I
cannot remember what is the deck limitation as far as the number of cards. I cannot remember.
60 cards.
60
and
cards,
then
got you.
The really basic deck building strategy is 24 units, max vehicles, battle armor, 12 either commands or mission cards. So that could be personnel or special abilities, and then 24 resources or supports.
Right.
And then within those resources, supports generally want between about 16 to 18 that are zero cost. And then you can kind of supplement the rest that have some cost for the support.
Cool.
And then for the support, usually you are going to see two or three different kinds of support in a deck, with two being probably 80% of the time. I've never seen decks with just one type of support, so no kind of like monocolor, you know, deck like you might see in Magic. It's usually two, sometimes three. Almost never four. However, with a lot of the changes that I've made to the design, it's opened up the opportunity to kind of use larger resource decks. And so a lot of the units that I've introduced from 3025 don't have buyouts, which gives you a lot more flexibility for how you're building your deck. But that's the general deck construction. So
okay, 60 sweet. Units. Okay, then I am gonna grab some of these bad boys. Are there? I cannot remember if there were a bunch of aerospace fighters in this or not.
Aerospace didn't make it. There is VTOLs, but no aerospace. Though the other fan made work project, the BT Tactics, they have introduced a lot of aerospace. And so, cool. If people go onto Facebook, which is where most of the projects are centered, the BattleTech Trading Card Game Group is my own that focuses on my project. And then the BattleTech CCG group is kind of the older, more general group. And that's where the guys that are developing the BattleTech Tactics fan project are centered off of.
Righto. I am stoked. It has been too long since I played some BattleTech CCG.
Do you have 60? Are you ready to go?
Nope. I'm putting it together. I'm at 13. Just give 13. Me a minute. Talk
Take
amongst
your
yourselves.
Take your time.
All right, I gotta get okay. Is there any way to like organize by card type? Type. Sorry, I'm retarded.
Nope. Okay. Bottom left, you can filter however you need to. Filter by set, filter by type, keyword.
Gotcha. So like mission and command cards kind of get lumped in together at around 24 is a good number, you said?
No, the mission commands you want about 12 of those. It's the resources and the units that you want 24 of.
12 of each? Okay.
Nope, just 12 total. So you can have
12 total. Gotcha.
Yeah, 6 of 6, 12 and 0, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, cool. All right. There we go. I still remember, man, this artwork is giving me flashbacks. It's insane. I actually still have, I had in my desk for years after I stopped playing a random, you know how when you play a TCG, cards somehow find their way into the weirdest places, like out of your Definitely. Deck and just in weird places in your room or where.
Bookmarks are the big thing for me.
Yes! For the longest time, I just had a random loose Death from Above just around. It just kept turning up, right?
Funny.
All right, let's see here.
Yeah, I gave a bunch of commons from my Star Wars CCG to my daughter to play with like 3 years ago, and they still turn up in random places now.
Same here. I played the Star Wars CCG for a while too, and the same thing happened with me. Never had a B-wing though, unfortunately. All right, let's see here. We got about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I got 6 units, so I'll go ahead and pop 6 more in there. All right, cool stuff.
And you want about 24 units total, and generally you want about, I would say maybe about 8 that are 1 or 2 cost, and then maybe another 8 that are in kind of the 3, 4, 5 range. And then you maybe only 4 or so that are cost more than 5 or 6.
Yeah, you don't want to. I remember bringing the heavy lumber cost you.
It did. There's a big issue with tempo in the original game, which is another thing that I've been working on with the new sets. Is we redone a lot of the clan units, because the way they originally costed the units is they weighted a weapon's range into its value and how much damage it could do, but also the amount of damage determines the cost of the card. And so essentially these big iconic clan units were just really powerful, but they also cost a lot. And so the game at its conclusion was very much light, fast, easy to get out swarms, because it just the tempo of the fast decks would always take down the big ones before they kind of came out. And so, you know, as a lover of Battletech, all things, you know, I didn't really like the fact that it was dominated that way. And so in the recosting, we've done a lot to kind of bounce that out. And so the clan units have more abilities in their game text, but they're not as just raw powerful. And therefore, right, they don't cost crazy amounts. And so you can get them on the table a lot easier. And we've done things to tweak kind of what you can do for attacking and guarding and blocking that kind of dissuade the just cheap mech swarms that were dominating the old meta.
Right. Okay. Let's see what Merrick has on offer. I need to fill this out. So not as much for them as some of the other houses.
Yeah, the Flea is a good one. That's one of the newer ones. The Wraith is a great Merrick card. Can't remember. The Spectre might be a merit card, or might be a Lao. That's a general one.
Okay, here we go. Of course, Safe. You got a card for Safe. Knights of the Inner Sphere. Yes, please. That's, man, some of the artwork for these back in the day. Look at
the old 80, the huge noses, the long hair.
No wonder the jihad took these guys out. Jesus. All right, let's see here. Oh, loving it. The anvil. I love the anvil. It's a terrible mech, but I love it.
The card is good in the game. It's a solid card.
Does it pair with the hammer well? I can't remember. I mean, in actual Battletech, they're like inseparable.
The hammer is a solid mech. It's a 1 cost, 2 attack. Usually you want to avoid mechs that only have 1 attack, but yeah, those cheap mechs that have 2 attack are good, reliable units.
Yeah, that's not bad. It's not bad at all. All right, sweet. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. All right, let's get up to 12. Okay, there we go. I will go ahead and grab. Trying to avoid the clanners. There we go. Wraith. That is some cool art, actually.
So if you use the Merrick filter down at the bottom, that'll help you find Merrick.
Yep, units. I've been using that, yeah.
So don't be, there are a lot of generic units that are going to be helpful for that. And so you don't
exactly. I know there's just generic Inner Sphere. Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead.
Trebuchet will be a good Merrick mech for you.
Trebuchet, yes.
The Hermes. We've got a new Hermes in there. That'll be a solid Merrick unit for you.
That's all right. That's all right. Ooh, Panther. I like the Panther. Okay. That's Karita. I'll leave it alone. I'll leave it alone. I could probably justify it, but no, I'll leave it alone. All right. Let's see here. Yeah, this is great. The challenge is going to be the command and mission cards. I have quite a few. Okay, I'm up to 10 units. You said about 12 would be good?
24 units.
Oh, 24 units. Okay.
Yeah, 24 units.
24, okay. And let's go ahead and just...
And pick some of the ones you like and just add multiples. You know, those buttons in the middle of the screen, the plus one, plus three, plus...
That's a good point, actually.
I hope you
add
some bulk.
Ooh, the Phoenix Hawk. Let's see here. Yeah, this is great. I have a physical deck still. Actually, I have a couple of them. Let's see, what's the big difference between the Helm expansion and the normal Phoenix Hawk? Not a ton of difference. Oh, it's actually,
a lot,
no.
It's a lot stronger. It's going to cost
more. Yeah.
So what you'll find with the Revival Inner Sphere units is a lot of them have no buyouts. You know, they have no additional asset requirements, and so they're easier, the more flexible in the decks. Mm-hmm. But as you get to the more advanced technology, the units will get stronger, but you also need certain assets to get them out there.
Mm-hmm.
Assembly being the big one, because, you know, you can't update a unit without assembly in your repertoire.
Yep. Okay, nice grouping. Shire. Okay, I'm looking for some ground assets, like some tanks or the like.
The Lightning is a really good tank.
There we go. There we go. All right.
If you want some VTOLs, the Calvary is a good one. And what's the other one?
All right, there we go.
And the Serrano is another.
I think the Cicada is a Merrick Mac. All right.
And so there we go.
Dire Wolf Prime, that was my friend's favorite mech. No, he had Prometheus. He literally had Prometheus. That was an expensive card back in the day.
It was 20. 20 was Prometheus.
Yeah, that was an expensive one, I remember. He had to pay quite a bit for that back in the day. Advanced manufacturing techniques. Man, some of this art is just awesome.
Yeah, we've
blast from the past.
We've been running a lot.
How do you feel about the progression of the BattleTech and MechWarrior art over time?
Oh man,
you digging? Like, I have my things that I like about it, mm-hmm. and my gripes. Like, you know, it's a little boxy. There's not a lot of, but at the same time, there's no like sharp angles or mm-hmm. round angles anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything's got those kitty corners on it, you know, looks a little, I also think it looks, especially in the MechWarrior Online and things like that, it looks a little new.
I mean, you're speaking my language. Actually, I set up a Patreon just to kind of pool community funds to make new art, because I wasn't super happy with the direction that it's been going lately. But I think it's just gotten bland. You know, I love the kind of lived in, gritty, day in the life of an Inner Sphere citizen, you know, character and atmosphere of the old arts. and it's progressed to this point where it's just like, here's a cool mech shooting, and there's a cool mech shooting at that, and here's a gory shot of a mech shooting here. And also the boxing, I'm not a huge fan of the boxiness. I like a little bit of a blend between, you know, that kind of the modern CGL take and the old you know, anime mecha take. And so, like mm-hmm. you said, you know, I don't want everything to be boxy. I think MechWarrior Online has had a huge effect on the artwork, and which is the thing about the MechWarrior Online stuff is it's all designed to work in, you know, 2014 computer software. And so there are limitations, you know, to the imagination that you can do it with that art. And then I think people, that's where most people come into, you know, the 31st century combat. Most people are coming into are aware of it through MechWarrior and not through BattleTech. And so, you know, a lot of the community, that's just what they know as it, as BattleTech. And I don't like the walking tank kind of comparison. I like, there's no
for
reason
assaults, to have a, I think that's pretty cool. Like,
yeah,
for assaults, I think that's the way to go. But
I've always
I
said
agree.
Like a light mech is kind of like an Olympic sprinter, you know, and then a medium mech is kind of like a running back, you know, and then a heavy mech is kind of like a lineman, and then an assault mech is kind of like a sumo wrestler. And so there's an athleticism to all of them, but there's also very different movement patterns. And just the idea of a medium mech moving clunky seems kind of absurd to me. I like DC Bruin's animation style and how he has his mechs move in his animation. So that's kind of
I dig that stuff.
And I had a chance to chat with Sam Lewis, who was the president of FASA around our time when we were getting into it. So he would have been early 90s, so maybe a little before us. And I asked him about this. I was like, how do mechs move? You know, how do you envision it? And he, for him, it was Pacific Rim, like obviously smaller scale than Pacific Rim, but that kind of dynamic movement was more, you know, what he envisioned. So
right.
Not as clunky as the walking tank. I don't care for that. And I think, yeah, like you said, with the art, it's just bland. It lacks some character to it. I want a little bit more life in my BattleTech.
How much? Okay, help me out here. How much, like munitions, logistics, the whole support stuff. About how much should I be shooting for here?
So you want, of the basic supports, I would say get about, you know, 13 or 14 of them, and then a couple think tanks to give you some flexibility. But for as far as each one, generally when you're building your units, if you just kind of scan through your units real quick, you can kind of see what kind of buyouts they require. Mm-hmm. For the most part, you don't ever want to pay the buyout. And so you want to have supports that'll cover it, and you want to kind of limit your mechs you've chosen to only be two or three different asset buyouts that you require. And so you can look at the cards in your deck and you can see, okay, A, M, L is what I'm seeing. Generally, you're going to want your main asset. You're going to want about 7 to 8 of those in your deck, and that will guarantee you that you'll get it at least on the first turn, if not the second turn. Well, not guarantee, but statistically likely. And then for your kind of more less important assets, you might, you know, take anywhere from 3 to 5 or so of those.
Okay.
Things like the Think Tank, which is a card that you can scrap at any time to permanently get an asset. Those are great because they kind of add flexibility. War Funds is a card that's pretty almost an auto-include in all decks. And so what War Funds does is basically allows you to search your deck for any assets and then put it into play. So okay. I would put 2 or 3 War Funds into your deck. And when you go there, you can enjoy some of the custom art we commissioned from Aldonius Rex.
Nice.
We made this custom War Funds card to give away through Renegade HPG.
So. Looks great. All right, cool. Let's add a couple of those. Oh, the Wolfhound. I like the Wolfhound. That's a nice little one cost mech. That's not a clan. No, okay, it's good. All right, cool. All right, I'm getting close here. I think I'm like 5 away from 60. So thank you for your patience, sir.
Of course.
All right.
Yeah, I'm hoping for people watching, this can kind of be like a little instructional for them.
Yeah, because I am like a blank slate. I can, you know, I can remember vagaries. I can't remember specifics about how this game is played. So I'm kind of tabula rasa here.
We'll walk you through.
All right. About how many units do I have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 18, 19. Okay. Yeah, I got about 19 units, so maybe I'll just round out my deck with some more units. Okay.
Some good ones. Some ooh, ooh. Hunchback is really good.
I already got a hunchback in there. I had to grab the hunchy.
The Crusader is a solid one of the new mechs. The Marauder and Ram are also both solid options.
Nabbed the Crusader because that's got a Merrick represent.
Awesome. Yeah, that was one of the fun things about the custom cards that I've done as well is when the original game came out, it was right in the middle of the Unseen debacle. And so none of those original mechs were in the original
game. Was it? So. I can't remember. I know right in the mid to late 90s was when Fossa were just getting airtighted legally on every side.
Yep. And so basically I've gone back and pulled all those units in the game. And so we have all the Unseen are back in. Alive and strong.
Nice. Purple Bird Strunk. Okay. I am one away. Let's go. Do I already have a flea? Do I have a flea? I feel like I need a flea. Let's go flea. Let us boldly flee. All right, sweet. I like how the flea revised looks like a toaster on legs. It's genius. That's great. I miss all those. How do you feel about BattleTech? Do you like the old black and white art from the source books and stuff? Like, I can't get enough of that stuff.
Some of it's great. I mean, some of it dated, but
right.
My favorite piece of BattleTech art probably is Jeff Lovenstein's Archer Under Repairs, where it's just kind of Archer with its arm taken off and you got tech swarming all around.
Yes,
it.
I remember that.
I love that stuff.
I remember that. And I remember the old, God, I don't even know what this came in. Did it come in one of the BattleTech starter boxes back in the day? But the big Madcap poster where it was a cutaway.
Yes. Yes.
And you could see inside of it where, they keep the 50,000 missiles somehow.
Well, then, they have Mary Poppins technology, like her little purse. And so it all just kind of magically fits in this very limited space.
Yeah, actually, the missile launchers have a bunch of Tinky Winky bags in them, actually. Yes, all right. Cool. I am set. I am at 60. I don't know if it's any good of a deck, but I have a deck.
So let's give it a name at the top. So deck name, type it in.
Okay. I've done that.
And then in the middle buttons, you'll see a save deck. So go ahead and save it just in case we need to pull it back up.
Save deck.
Three buttons to the right of that is load entire deck to you. Don't press that yet, actually. We got one more step, but that's what you will do to put it into play. We're going to go to the server tab for the program.
Sweet.
And we're going to connect to the game matching server.
All right.
Excellent. You're there. I'm there. I will host a game, and then as soon as you see it pop up, you can double-click into it.
There we go.
I see.
And
now
that's us.
We
all
can
right.
go back to our deck editor, and then click that Load Entire Deck to You button.
Load Entire Deck to You. Hey!
Perfect.
All right, now I have no idea how to play this, and it's an all-new program to me, so this should be doubly fun.
Excellent. I'll walk you through. All right, we got middle buttons, leftmost button, draw a card. Click that 5 times.
All right. Okay.
Now you should have... Whoops.
Oh, I hit draw phase. I apologize. No worries. Okay, what do we need to do to fix that?
Right below the play area, there's a set of buttons, and on the leftmost button is draw card.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There we are.
Got it. All right. And so you should have at least 1 0-cost support in your hand. Do you have that?
Let's see. Yes, I do.
Excellent. Then you're good to go. If you draw a hand and you have no zero cost supports, you can mulligan once to redraw. But we're good.
That's right. I remember that. Jesus. Right. See, I'm going to be, I apologize. I'm going to be uttering that phrase a lot.
No worries. And to help us through the tutorial here, what I'm going to do is I'm going to right click on my hand tab, which is right above the cards I can see. And I'm going to click reveal to all cards so that you can see my
hand. So I can see what you're doing in real time.
Yep. And if you do the same, then I can kind of help walk you through your own.
Okay. Here we go.
Excellent. All right. Perfect. All right. And so then next thing we're going to do is the fourth card, our fourth button over in the middle is roll D6. So we're going to roll a die to see who goes first. I got a 2.
Okay. Where's the button? Sorry. Oh, roll D6. There we are. Bam. Five, right, bitch.
So normally in the game, each turn, you're going to draw 2 cards and you're going to be able to deploy 2 cards. But okay, the very first person to go in the game, they will only draw 1 and deploy 1. All right. So that's okay, going to be you this time. So you're going to draw 1 card.
Okay. So let's grab one of these supports. All right. Oh, okay. How do we draw one card.
You got it.
And play one card.
So you're going to want to play one of your basic supports. So just drag that and drop it in the bottom left of the board.
Okay. Right about there.
Yep.
Okay.
And another thing before we continue is if you just put your cursor somewhere on the play area and right click. And then go to spawn a card. And then that's going to represent our stockpile. All right. So what we're attacking.
Okay.
So usually everyone has their preference. I usually like to put it in the top left of my screen, which is going to put it in the bottom right of yours. So if you just drag it over to the top left. Perfect. All right. And so you've completed your turn. So drew 1, deployed 1. And so in the bottom left of the screen, you'll see those arrows that you pressed originally. So next to one of them, it says turn 0, Travis G. Okay. So normally at the end of your turn, you would bounce over. It just happened to start from mine. So technically it's yours. And then you'll press that 1 more time to cycle the turn back to me.
Gotcha. Cool.
I will draw 2 cards. I will drop a basic support.
A zoom in button here.
If you put the cursor over the card, it will pop up in the big image to the left.
Okay.
Depending on software, you can actually, there's a border at the right of that. You can shrink it or expand it if you want to see a bigger or smaller card. There is a certain point where you can't go anywhere.
Okay. Now my monitor is just in really high res, so like, you know, the cards are little ants.
I have that problem with my QuickBooks software. I cannot get it
right
on my screen. I'm like, I cannot do my bookkeeping when my font is at 2.
Right.
All right. So I'm going to drop another card. And so when a card needs to be paid for, generally you're going to turn it over. So I would, when you right click a card, you can turn it over, third option down. So you would turn it over in your hand. And then when it's turned over, you would drag it onto the table. And then I would tap my logistics to pay 1 resource. And
right.
On that card, there are buttons in the middle that has construction +1. So I would do that construction +1. And then once you've paid for a card, you can reveal it. The easiest way to do that is to hit the clear button, which is another one of the options in those middle set of buttons. The clear will remove all counters and turn it over.
Okay.
So I now have all war funds on the table, which I have paid for. And that's my 2 deployments. So I'm going to turn the turn back to you.
Okay. And so at the beginning of every phase, I draw a card.
Draw two.
Right. I start out drawing 1.
Yep.
Okay.
And then another thing to help with new players is to keep track of the phases. The 2 blue arrows below your turn are your phases. And that can help you keep track of what you do next. And so if you cycle through those, so the first thing you would do technically is untap. and then you would draw, and then is your repair reload, then your deploy, then your missions, end of turn, and then it goes.
Everything goes in a particular order. Okay,
right.
Gotcha.
And so if you're having trouble remembering, you can always use that to kind of get the order right.
Cool. All right. Let's see here. I have, I don't quite have the support cards to deploy. Well, I okay. Now walk me through this.
Mm-hmm.
When you deploy, okay, for example, if I wanted to deploy cavalry,
yep,
the cavalry, I would need one resource or two if I would need two if I didn't have T. Sorry, I'm trying
have,
to.
No, if you didn't have T, you'll need three. And so basically, that two is your.
Oh, it adds on to that.
Yep. Okay. And so if you have just one tactics on the table, though, you can ignore that completely. So right now you have munitions, but you have logistics in your hand. So you could pull logistics down.
Mm-hmm.
And then you probably pick what unit you want to start building. The lightning is actually a really solid one. And so if you drop the lightning down, okay. Turn it over first in your hand.
Right.
And then once it's turned over, then you'll drag it onto the table.
Oops. Sorry. Turn over. Mm-hmm. And then put it over here somewheres.
Yep. And then now you can tap by both of your supports.
Okay.
By double clicking.
Yep.
Should do it. And then if you highlight the lightning that's turned over, highlight that and then go to the button that is construction plus one, tap it twice, and you'll have two construction counters.
Myself. Okay. And keeping track of all this, the cost is which one again? It's two. So actually we need up to three, right?
Yep. You're going to need three.
Okay. Yep. Okay, cool. Gotcha. So next turn possibly. All right, cool. That's good to know. I think that's all I need to do. Let's throw it over to you.
Excellent. And so as we build our table here, there are different regions that we'll talk about. We put our resources in what's called the command region. Mm-hmm. Beside the command region is your construction zone. So that's where your lightning is right now. In front of those zones tends to be your patrol region. So once you have completed building a unit, you're going to move it into that patrol
region. Move it forward. I do remember that. I remember that your scrapyard was generally off to the side and your supports kind of hung out in their region in the back, usually in the back somewhere.
Yeah.
And then you had sort of the area where your stuff is being constructed. Then you sort of... Do you have multiple lines of offense and defense? I can't remember with mechs and whatever, you know, is there a forward or is it all in the same area?
So your patrol region is basically kind of like a flexible deployment zone. And so one of the cool things about BattleTech is that almost any card on the table can be attacked. And so if you look at your support cards, they have four armor, three structure. And so you can destroy people's resources in that. When you're in the patrol region, basically that's where you attack from. And it can also be where you defend from. And so if you are in the patrol region, if someone attacks anything you own, if you're equal speed or greater speed, you can intercept that attack.
Block them.
And block them, right? And if you do block them, then they can't deal damage to the card that they're attacking. Unless they have special abilities that allow them to do that. Now you can, with slow units, you can block a slow units by designating them to guard something. And so let's say I have an Atlas sitting in my patrol region. If I wanted that Atlas to be able to block a Locust that was attacking my stockpile, during my mission phase, I would just reassign that Atlas out of the patrol region to guard the stockpile.
Oh, so it just could bow guard that particular thing.
Cool. And so it takes away the flexibility, but it lets it flexibility in terms of what it can guard. But then when it guards, it can guard regardless of speed.
Right. It goes from Michael Jordan to Manute Bol.
There you go.
Gotcha. Cool. All right.
All right. My turn. I will draw. All right. We've got. Yeah, drop.
That heavy fog art is boss.
It is.
That's great.
It's a good card too. One of the better missions in the game.
Yeah, I grabbed that. I made sure to grab that.
All right, I will drop this field repair unit. So with that, I'm just going to deploy it base up because it's paid for right away. So it's zero base cost and three L. So since I have L on the table, which I need to untap, it's free. You'll see at the bottom it has the A, so it actually provides an assembly asset. So I technically have logistics and assembly on the table right now.
Cool.
I will, with my second deployment, I'm going to play a Griffin. I'm also going to play that face up because I can pay for that right away. And so now I have this Griffin that is in my construction region, and I've turned it over, which is activating it. And then once it's activated, it's ready to kind of go into play. Now, a mech in your construction region can't engage in battle. You know, it's basically kind of still at the assembly plant.
And it can't go into play until the next turn.
Right. So what happens is at the end of your turn, any activated units in your construction region move up to your patrol region. And then the next turn is when they can start engaging and doing things.
Right on.
So that is what I'm going to do at my end of my turn. And then I will pass the turn back to you, Razor.
Nice. All right. Then let's go ahead and draw two cards. All right. Ooh, it only costs one. So one. Okay, I got two resource cards, and I actually could possibly put another one down if I have. I don't know.
Do and there's another button here. So in that main set of buttons, the fifth one over is untap all. So you click that, it'll just untap everything for you at once.
Okay. But I do need them tapped for this particular turn to finish off the construction of this card, right?
Right. So you would untap them at the beginning and then tap them again to pay for whatever you
need. I see. For. So at the beginning of every turn, you need to untap and then retap.
Correct. Yeah. And
tap a tap a tap.
Deploy phase is when you're going to be putting cards out. And so if we cycle through the phases, you have your untap, your draw, and then you have a repair reload, and a lot of cards will cite that repair reload. If you look at that field repair unit, the assembly ability, you're allowed to repair a unit that has some structure damage on it. And so you would do that during your repair reload phase.
Okay.
And then after that is your deploy, and that's when you're putting cards on the table and paying for them with your resources.
Cool. Okay. So right off the bat, we would want to tap both of these and go ahead and finish this guy. So this would I go clear and then turn over?
Yep. So I think, what is he? Yep. Okay. Two, one. So you only need three. So he already had two. So if you just tap one of those, that will give you your three to pay for.
Well, I'm tapping both because I'm going to go ahead and deploy this hammer. Now, do I just drop him just right there and he's still in the construction area?
Yep.
Cool.
Perfect.
And didn't see much of anything else I want to do. I possibly could drop one of these support cards in. What's the penalty having? I mean, is there any kind of ill benefit to having a bunch of support cards on the table, or do you generally want to put them down if you have them?
You do. Yeah, generally, you always want to use your deployments.
Okay.
And yeah, so you want to make sure you use both of them because deployments are very powerful in the game. And you definitely want to get your supports out because it's going to give you a lot more flexibility for building things as you go. So you still only got two deployments, so you'd have to pull that munitions back.
Oh, I see.
Yep. There you go.
Okay. So one of these can stay.
Yep. Yep. So one of your deployments was your hammer, one of them was your supports, and then you paid for the lightning and hammer. And then at the end of your turn, then you're moving them from your construction region up to your patrol, and they are in the game.
Okay. So then, yeah, I'll go ahead and do that and then throw it over to you. All right. And there we go.
All right. We'll untap all. I'm going to put down a wasp.
Oh, sweet.
And so the wasp is super fragile, but he has a couple bonuses when you deploy him. So if I deploy him face up, I get an extra deployment that turn.
Really?
And then also, whenever I pay for him and activate him, I get to draw a card. So I'm going to do that now. Pay one to cover him, draw a card, and I drew a Hoplite. So I still have two more deployments because that Wasp technically deployed for free. I will deploy a Hoplite for one of those. And I will deploy a Weapons Depot for the other.
So you have a limit of how many deployments? Two?
Two deployments, and then by deploying the Wasp face up, I got an additional
deployment. Get a little bonus. Okay, gotcha.
Exactly. And so I will tap one to pay for the Weapons Depot, which I'll put in my command region. I'll tap the Logistics to pay for the Hoplite. So those are both active. And I have a Griffin ready and waiting to do damage. So if you look at the Griffin has one base attack, but in its abilities, it has Missile 1 and Jump.
Mm-hmm.
And so Missile 1 is an ability where it's changed a bit from the original in the version that I've been running through Organized Play. So originally, Missile was something that you always rolled a die for. On a 1, 2, or 2, you did 1 or 2 damage. And if you had munitions on the table, you could do 3 damage on a 3. On a 4, 5, or 6, you would do no damage. Munition generally was a kind of a dead ability in the original game because it was fairly weak. And so we've adjusted it so that you do damage on a 1, 2, or 3, no matter what, whether you have munitions on the board or not. We've right. changed what munition does to do things like reloading units to Alpha Strike. And the missile has another ability where in the original game, you could bypass a blocker and still hit your target. So if I attack your stockpile with my Griffin and you block with, let's say, the hammer, I could mm-hmm. still opt to send my missile at your stockpile and roll for damage. Okay. And cool. now we've also added ability.
And if I remember correctly, the game is over when your stockpile's empty.
Correct.
Right?
That's okay. correct.
Cool.
Yep. And then the other thing that we've changed for missile is that if you don't want to roll for missile, you can just opt to use missile as straight damage. So I can either say, well, that missile is just one automatic damage, or I could opt to roll for it and try my luck. So that being said, I'm going to cool. go ahead and attack your stockpile with my Griffin. Okay. And so I'm moderate speed and you are moderate and fast. So you could block with either one of those or both of them. You don't have to do either.
Yeah. But I'll go ahead and use the tank. Let's see the tank do its thing. And I okay. can, well, wait. Your turn is not over.
No. So in order to block from the patrol region, you're going to tap your lightning. And then we have initiative that determines our order of operations. So to go ahead and tap your lightning to indicate that you're blocking with it.
Okay. Tap.
Excellent. And so the order of resolution is determined by initiative. Now, when you play the game, you start with zero initiative. And initiative is what allows you to play missions. And so you can play one mission per initiative that you have. Now, neither of us have tactics on the table right now. So technically, we both at zero initiative. Mm-hmm. So we can't play any missions. But whenever you have a tie on initiative, the attacker is the winner of that tie. And so what that says is that you have to assign your damage first to me. And then I get to decide what I want to do to you. So there's not a whole lot of option here. So you've got your three. You're doing your three to me. I've got one armor, so two of that is going to get through structure. So I'm going to go to the damage button and click that twice to add two damage.
Okay.
And for me, I've got one base and one missile, and I am going to opt to send my missile at your stockpile. So I'm going to do one damage to you.
Okay.
Now, the drawback for vehicles, and this is why you tend to get vehicles that are a little extra strong or extra fast for their cost, is that if you look at the vehicle text on the card,
mm-hmm.
it says that if it's received any damage, you have to roll a die and on a 6 scrap. And that's actually been eroded. That was eroded almost immediately when the set was released, so that if you're on a 5 or a 6, you have to scrap the card.
Okay. So do I need to roll now?
Yep. You roll.
Okay.
1. So you're safe.
Okay.
And then I need to roll to see if I damage your stockpile. So I'm going to roll 6. So I deal no damage to your stockpile because 4, 5, and 6 does nothing.
Okay.
And then that is the end of my mission phase. At the end of my turn, I'm going to move my wasp and my hoplite up, and then I'm going to pass the turn to you.
Sweet. All right, so we untap our resources, and we need to draw two cards. Janos Merrick's Legacy. I love it. Look at that Thomas Merrick art. Isn't that fantastic? Perfect. All right. He did nothing bad will happen with him later.
Nothing at all.
No.
Good, peaceful life. Both of them.
Exactly. All right, sweet. Let's go with, wouldn't mind getting this guy on the field, this logistics. What is this? Look at the top four cards of your stockpile. Here's up to two of those cards, which aren't mission cards. Show them to all players and deploy them. These do not count as deployments. What? So this is like an insta-deploy.
Mm-hmm. That's great card. Put it up. Get it out.
Yeah, that's not bad. So what would I do to play this? Where do I put this?
So that goes, as soon as you've fully constructed it, it'll go in your command region. So,
oh, okay. So you need to construct it first. So this is a two, and if you have logistics on the board, which I do, then it would just normally be two. So just tap two of these, and right, and then this I can go ahead and play this. And so here I would just draw four cards.
Yep. So you can, the first thing it says scrap when revealed. So you're going to scrap it now. So you just drag it to the button above your hand where it says scrap heap, and that will scrap it.
Wait, the but drag it where? Sorry.
So there's tabs over your hand stockpile scrap heap. And so you can just drag it over to that scrap heap tab and drop it. Perfect. Oops. Something else.
Did that do it?
Nope, that dropped something else. I think you pressed, did you press the button that said scrap a card? Yeah, you did.
Yes, I did. Sorry, I saw that.
No worries.
What did I need to do?
So click the actual card, secret buildup on the board.
Right click on it?
Nope, just left click and drag it over off the board and drop it into that tab.
Which tab? Sorry.
The scrap heap. So look at your hand. Right above your wraith in your cavalry is a tab that says scrap heap.
Scrap. Oh, there it is. Okay, there we go. Sorry about that.
No worries. And now
the text is super small on my screen. So, right. I'm like having to sit here, like look at it, like freaking squinting. Okay. So now, what happens at the beginning here with the lightning that was damaged? This is it still? It's not blocking anymore. So I would untap it. Correct.
Correct. Yep. That untaps the beginning phase. And so now with your secret buildup, what you can do is go ahead and draw four cards.
Okay. One, two, three, four.
And then it says two cards that are not mission, you can immediately deploy. And so you nailed it there. So you can deploy your Shadowhawk and your Black Knight.
Ooh. See, Terengel, my editor, is going to be a big fan of the Black Knight being on the board here. He is a big Black Knight fanboy. Well, here we go. How'd you feel about the Mech Warrior 4 Black Knight expansion?
I have not played Mech Warrior 4.
God, you haven't?
I haven't.
It's a shame. You need to give that a whirl.
My Mech Warrior campaign ended that Mech Warrior 2 Mercenaries.
Oh, that's a shame. Three has a great it has a pretty limited roster of mechs, but it is really cool in terms of like atmosphere, that game. Cool soundtrack and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Great vibe to Mech Warrior 3. All right, let's see here. So what shall we do? Now, these guys are deployed, so they can't just go into battle. They were just deployed.
So they're deployed, but they're not paid for. And so you have them on the table. So they'll be back in your construction zone.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought. Okay. So back in construction, not on patrol. And
then you can tap those other two resources to pay for, I would put them on the Shadowhawk. And then your,
that's a good idea. So let's see here. So construction will do two, right? Yep,
correct.
Okay.
And then if you go back to your hand, the other two cards that you drew that you didn't employ, those get scrapped.
So the war two funds and oh, they instantly get. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Cool. All right.
There you go. And you're good. So you've got two units under construction. And then okay, you've got two units on the board. So now, you know, I kind of outnumber you with units, so you probably want to play defensively at this point.
Yeah, I don't think attacking is the way to go with a little 30-ton mech and a tank that has one damage.
Good call.
So yeah, I think we'll just chill. I will throw it over to you, sir.
All right. I will untap everything, draw my two. We got an imp and some more assembly. So I am going to, what am I going to do? Just drop that assembly down. One. So I am going to tap my assembly to repair one damage on my Griffin. Of another deployment. I'm going to drop this card to start constructing. Let's go tap that. One, two, three, and four. One, two, three, four. I am going to send my Griffin at your stockpile again.
You bastard. All right, so he's doing one, right?
One,
plus the,
yep.
Plus the missile attack, or it, assuming you're going to do the missile attack.
Correct.
Okay, so what are we... I rolling the missile or you are?
So you're, are you letting it go through or are you blocking with something?
Oh, sorry.
You can do either.
Yeah. Well, let's see here. He's got five. He's got no armor and five structure. Maybe I will defend with the hammer. Let's go ahead and do that.
Perfect. And so we still don't have any tactics on the board. So 0-0, no missions will be played. You'll deal your damage forced. You're dealing two.
Mm-hmm.
One goes to my armor, one goes to my structure. So I'll add one damage counter. I will deal one to your hammer, and I will roll for the missile at your stockpile again.
All right.
I rolled five, so nothing got through. Yep. And
boy, this is like using missiles in the tabletop game for Christ's
sake. There you go.
And they never freaking hit.
But I'm out of ammo. I haven't even done any damage with them yet.
I know, right? All right. Sweet.
And then I'm going to my hoplite. I'm going to move him over to my stockpile to guard. Because he's a slow unit, you've got, you know, quicker units on the table. So that's going to basically allow me to block an attack, even though he's slow. Mm-hmm. My wasp is just fragile. I'm not going to do anything with him, and I will pass the turn back to you.
All righty. Here. Crusader, good Saxon album. All right. Got some cavalry. I could use some. Okay, let's untap these guys. And this guy, the Shadowhawk needs one more, so I think I'll go ahead and do that, and then clear, and he will hang out in the construction area until the end of the turn, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and this guy is a five. Maybe I could start on constructing him?
Yep, and you'll want to get some resources out, so I would put that war funds out into your table, so go ahead and drop that and pay for it.
Okay. What does this do for me? Scrap more funds to search your stockpile for any resource card that provides an asset. Show that card to all players. Okay, so how?
And you can do that after you used it. So if you go ahead and put that on, tap one of your other resources to pay for it.
Okay.
And then it immediately is usable. And so now you can tap that to put a counter on your Black Knight.
Okay.
And then now that it's tapped, you can scrap it. So drag it into the scrap heap. And then you can search your stockpile for any resource. And so what you'll do there is hover over your stockpile tab, right-click that, and go reveal to owner all.
Gotcha.
And now you can just scroll through and pick any support that provides an asset. And that means when you go over to a support card, the little letter at the bottom that says ALM or whatever. Mm-hmm. So any card that has that on it, you can pull out and put on the table. Now you still have to pay for it. So if you pull out a zero cost, then you can immediately use it and tap it as a resource. If you pull out something that costs one or two, et cetera, then you have to pay for that before you use it.
Okay.
So a good one would actually be tactics. If you have a tactics in there, you can pull tactics. Otherwise, an assembly, if you find
I was going to use an assembly, I think. Yeah,
it'll help you repair that lightning.
Let's go ahead and plop that on there. And
then you go right-click on the stockpile again. And then reveal to owner, none, and shuffle.
None and shuffle. Gotcha. All right. Done. And let's see here. I have... This is...
And so now you can use that assembly to repair your lightning if you want, or you can use it to put a third construction counter on the Black Knight. So you got two others. You can put two more construction counters. Another option, because you do have Calvary's, you could...
Can I repair the tank?
Yep. But repair the tank.
Might just do that. I would need to tap one of these guys to do that, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And another thing you do is that advanced manufacturing techniques, if you pull that onto the table, that will provide a resource. And so if you drop it on the table, pay for it, and then you can use that to put another resource on your Black Knight.
Okay. Drop it, tap it, and I would scrap it, right? Right away.
Nope. So you don't want to tap it yet, so that's untapped.
Okay.
Tap your assembly to pay for it.
Gotcha.
And then now you can tap it to pay for something. You can either pay for the repair on the tank, or you can put a counter on your Black Knight.
Just one. Cool. Just one. Yeah. All right. I think I will go ahead and repair this guy real quick. And I do have one untapped resource. This guy should go up on patrol at the beginning of the turn, correct?
The Shadow Hawk will go up. Yeah, and you can put that other resource, you can put it up on your Black Knight.
Okay.
So the Shadowhawk doesn't deploy until your end of your turn. Sorry. After your mission phase. Because you just
I got you. This turn. All right. Then here, chill here for now. And I will tap this final resource and put one more construction on the Black Knight.
Perfect.
And then I will deploy my Shadowhawk, and that is my turn.
Excellent. I will untap all my cards and draw two. All right, I've got a bunch of cheap mechs here. So we'll drop a flea. The flea is one of those units that gives me an additional deployment. So I still have two. I will also drop a hornet, which also gives me an additional deployment. So I technically still have two deployments.
I feel like I'm about to be assaulted by the Lollipop Guild here.
Yeah, that's right. Get that Black Knight up and they'll be running into a wall.
What?
All right.
A very, very hot running wall.
There you go. Let's drop an assembly and a logistics. I will... One, two, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Clear. I have a big bad end. All right. Because standing on the back line never won any wars, we are going to send this Griffin at your stockpile once more.
Okay.
All right, let's see what I should do here. You have got the one attack plus the missile. Oh, what the hey. Let's try and block that with the tank again.
All right. Now, you can block with multiple units, but one unit is fine, too. So,
you know what? Actually, I apologize. I'm going to go ahead and use the Shadow Hawk.
Okay.
All right. Well, hey, I could add some initiative here to break the stalemate with a jump attack. It would reduce my effectiveness with attack, but it would give me an initiative advantage, right?
Yep, and you could play a mission.
I can play a mission.
Mm-hmm. It looks like you don't have a mission, though.
Yeah, there's I don't think I do.
Yeah, there's no, without playing mission, there's no surprises that you can do for me, so I wouldn't jump. Just deal your 2 damage.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay. Yeah, I'll go ahead and block with the Shadow Hawk.
Got it. So I will take 2. I will deal 1 back to you, which just goes your armor. I will send my missile at your stockpile. And I roll blanks again.
Jesus Christ.
Shuffle back to the line of patrol in shame with my
somebody get down. This man a marksman mech warrior.
And
like the Stormtrooper Academy over here.
Exactly. I'll move these 2 up at the end of my turn, and I'll pass that turn back to you right there.
All righty. 2 cards. Okay. Untap. Where's the untap all?
It is the 4th button from the left.
Oh, there it is. Okay, cool. All right. What the hey? Let's put a logistics on the board. And what in the heck is Headhunter? For each damage, 1 damage dealt by mech piloted by Headhunter to a unit later this battle, you may roll a die. 1 to 2 prevents that damage. And 3 to 5 has no effect, and 6, scrap the unit receiving that damage.
Headhunter's a nasty way to get rid of big mechs.
That does seem pretty nasty.
So if you put the headhunter...
Let me organize my cards a little bit better. I manage my cards on the board like I do my cords for my PC, for crying out loud. All right.
So if you think about your Black Knight, so your Black Knight has 3 damage, and you can overheat to deal 3 more. Basically, what overheat means is that you can take 3 damage to deal 3 extra damage.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you did that with a Black Knight, you'd deal 6. And then if you think about it, your Headhunter, if you have a Headhunter on it, you actually get +1, so you're at 7. And so you could just say, well, instead of dealing straight damage, I'm going to just roll a die for everyone. And statistically, you're going to destroy that mech. And so you could have something a little like a Black Knight take out something big like an imp, you know, with that Headhunter on it. You know. Which is, that makes the Headhunter really strong for kind of taking out the big gun.
Okay. Well, let's see what we want to do here. I think I'll go ahead and tap 3 of these sons of guns so that I can construct Mr. Black Knight, which I think should. I think that would actually take care of it, correct? Yep. 3?
Correct, because you do have assembly on the table.
Okay, so we got the Black Knight all built. What do we want to do with the rest of these resources? Cavalry here. So I'd go ahead and I think he would just automatically be revealed because I have enough resources to pay for him, right?
Yep. So you could pay 1, 2, 3. Yeah, really easy.
Cool. And I don't know if I want to mess with the Crusader yet. I think maybe. Yeah, I think it, maybe we'll. Yeah. Let's go ahead and fruitlessly attack your stockpile, even though you're guarding it, with my. Let's go with the hammer. I'm gonna attack your stockpile with the hammer, and let's see what that does. That would do 2 damage, so it would go 1 armor, 1 structure, right?
You're blocking, so you're moderate speed, so I can block with anything in my patrol region that's moderate speed or faster.
Okay, so you're speedy. So, okay, so what are you gonna do?
I am going to. What am I gonna do? I think even though
it doesn't just automatically go to the hoplite, you can actually block it before it gets there, in other words.
Correct. Yeah, I can intercept it. Or they can also block with the hoplite. And so it's kind of my choice there. But I am actually just gonna let it go and the hoplite will take that attack.
Okay.
So there's a couple different things here, and I want to step back real quick. If you highlight the cavalry, and I have it on my screen highlighted. Mm-hmm. The bottom of that has ability from the original game, and so that allows you to immediately deploy it. Now we have changed that in the updated rules, and so we've changed that ability to it gets an extra fast speed band instead of a fast speed band. And so depending on what rule set you're using, you just want to be aware of it, and people watching can be aware of it.
Okay.
So we're going to use the updated one. So now he's going to be extra fast, which basically means nothing of mine can block from the patrol region. I have to actually be guarding what you attack. And then you've attacked with the hammer. I'm blocking with the hoplite. This is another difference between the original game and mine. In the original game, you would have to tap to block that. We've changed that so that if you are guarding something and you are blocking something that is attacking it, you do not have to tap to do so. So I'm going to take that attack with the hoplite. I'm blocking this time, so I lose initiative. I am just going to deal 1 damage, my base damage to you.
Okay. So let's go ahead and damage 1.
And then you will deal your damage to me. And I have 1 armor, so 1 will get through to my structure. And that's it, unless you had missions that you want to throw down. It looks like no missions yet. So.
No, sir. Okay, cool. Yeah, I think I am. Well, what else did I want to do? I do have other max. I'm limited on the number of actions I can take, though, right? I can't just have my whole line attack, right?
Actually, that's one of the great things about attack. As long as you have things to attack with, you can attack. So the drawback, and one, you can attack as a group. You can attack one at a time. If you are attacking as a group, I have to block the whole group. And the group speed is determined by the slowest mech. So if you attacked with the Shadowhawk and the Lightning, that would be a moderate speed attack group. So even though the lightning's fast, I could still block with a moderate speed.
Yeah. But you got some fast boys on the field.
I do.
All right. Okay. I'll defer. I'll play defensively for now because I have fewer mechs on the board until that Black Knight comes up. I'm gonna defer from attacking until, you know, later. So I'll throw it to you. That'll be the end of my turn.
All right. And so you can move your Black Knight and your cavalry up to your patrol.
Yes, sir. So make some room here.
Let's see, 3, 4, oops, 4, and 5. To pay for that Crusader, I'm going to scrap my war funds to search my deck for a tactics. Because I have missions I want to play. And then I'm going to tap a card to repair one damage to my Griffin. And let's move to my missions phase. All right. In traditional 30-25 style, we are in a stalemate, staring at each other's borders.
Yup. None of this Omni-Mech crap.
But I do have a big chunky boy in that imp, so I'm gonna use him to bully you a little bit. What's
oh my that? Goodness! Look at all that structure.
Yep, he's big. Let's send him and my Griffin.
All right.
I'll send them in at your stockpile.
Okay. So they've got, one's got one attack, one's got six. All right. Six attack. So, okay. Who could block and not get bodied? I think, the obvious candidate is Mr. Black Knight.
So you can always chump block. And so if you throw something like a cavalry out there, it's a cheap unit. It's going to block my attack.
Mm-hmm.
You're not losing something big like a Black Knight. One thing that's important kind of in your strategy in Battletech is it's rarely advantageous to just damage a thing. You want to be able to destroy it. Because if it's just damaged, it's still at full power. And so a lot of time when you're deciding where to block, you'd say, well, you know, I either want to do 14 damage to that imp or I want to try to do 8 damage to that Griffin. And so you can kind of pick your blockers based on are they going to add up to that? And if you're not willing to sacrifice the units to do that, that's when you might want to throw a little chump blocker out.
Yep. Let's see here. I have some little pawn units, but you're doing about 6 damage with one of those guys. So I think if I used my little guys, that would just kill the lightning and cavalry right away. Not really be worth it. Let's throw the heavy lumber. Let's block with the Black Knight. Where is the attack on this weird? I don't remember this edition of the card. Where's the attack on these versions of the cards? So is it 3?
It's 3. It's right above the armor structure. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. And then I could overheat with a +3. Okay. Yeah. Let's go ahead and block with him. You can. Okay. You attack with 2 guys, so maybe I'll block with 2 guys. And we'll have the lightning back as play.
All right. Now I do have tactics in play. And so I have 1 initiative.
All right.
You have 0 still. So you still have to go first in terms of assigning your damage. And so when you're going first, you also have to decide if you're playing missions, if you're overheating or not. And so, and then you get to assign your damage. And you can split damage up however you want. So that Black Knight, let's say you overheat the Black Knight and you're doing 6. You can do 5-1, 1-3, 3-3, all 6-1. You don't have to direct it at just one unit.
It can just be rando. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah, each individual attack point is considered its own unit to assign.
Okay, so all told, you're doing 7 damage. So let's do like 5 on the Black Knight. So that would be 3 into the structure. And.
Well, no, you're assigning damage to me. So I get okay. to assign. Yeah. So it's not you assigning my damage to you. So
to you.
Say, where do
Got
you
ya. Your. Okay. Damage? Sorry. I misunderstood. So I need to decide if I'm overheating. So I could. Let's see here. I don't know that overheating would be worth it. What's the drawback on overheating for this guy? Anything? Or is it just you might
it's
as
just,
well?
It's just, yeah, you're just damaging yourself. So if you damage yourself, you're bringing your hit points down to you'd be a 0-7. And I can definitely do 7. So if you do that, it'll be easier for me to kill you. If you don't do that, you're at 10 hit points. And I am at 1+6. And then they both have missiles. And so that's 9, but the imp can overheat. So I can still kill you no matter what. It's just a matter of how much damage I do to myself to get there.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, so I will.
In this situation, I would overheat because you can be assured that he's going to die no matter what.
Yeah, pretty much. Let's go. I'm going to overheat and do 6 damage. And this lightning is going to do 3 on top of that. So 9 altogether.
Yep.
So who do we want to take out? I could take the griffin out now. Yeah, what the heck? You've got 5 additional structure left on the griffin.
Mm-hmm.
So let's waste the griffin, and then there's 4 left to apply to him, so he would the imp would take 1 damage.
Remember, the griffin sells 1 armor, so he's technically a 1/5 right now, so he takes 6 to kill.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Then let's take him off the board, and I guess the imp will, his armor will deflect the remainder of the damage.
Correct. And then, so you're at a 0/7 and a 0/3, so 10 damage will kill you. Okay. I will, I'll apply my missile straight damage, so that'll be 2. I'll do that for the same for the imps, so that'll be 7, 8, 9 damage. I will overheat. I don't want to overheat. You know what? Let's try to save this. I'm going to play a card. I'm going to play a mission card. Okay. Risky combat jump. I'm going to play it on the griffin. And so for your small screen, that says roll a die or play it on a unit with jump, which the griffin has. Roll a die on a 1 to 2. I receive 1 damage and return my mission to my hand. If I roll a 3 to 6, then my unit gets +3 attack and I get to prevent 2 damage to myself. So
not bad.
I'm going to roll and hope for big numbers. I got a 3, just enough.
Just barely.
So I do 3, so that's going to be, I'm going to do 3 damage to your lightning and the rest to your black knights. I'm going to prevent 2 to myself, so he lives with, let's see, 1, 2. There. And
if you call that living.
Surviving.
Right. All right, cool. So and then the Black Knight would be in the scrap heap. You would just chuck them into the scrap heap. The Black Knight and the lightning would go away. Because I think it got the lightning too, right?
I did, yep.
Okay. And Taryn's going to be really mad at me. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. It's like, look what happens when I leave you alone.
All right, we are going to, let's see. 3 units. Do I have anything fast? I do not. All right. I am going to move my Crusader up and pass the turn back to you.
Cool. All right. Let's go ahead and...
So I assume there's ways to play MechWarrior 3 and 4 still on the internet. I just have to set up software special boot.
Bro, there's a great... I went through all 4 of the original MechWarrior games. This guy years ago did this unbelievable tutorial on YouTube of getting them all running in HD. Basically, the trick to most of them is a program called DG Voodoo.
Okay.
Which will help you. Yeah, you basically run it through that and you can do it all in HD and oh, they're awesome. They run great and they look great and you can stream them. They're fantastic. So that's how I finally got MechWarrior 3 to run. Thing I like about those old MechWarrior games is I feel like they were still tuned to joysticks. Whereas like the new ones are definitely mouse and clicking around and whatever.
Gotcha.
Those old ones felt like, you know, it felt like you were in a giant robot because you had the flight stick and it was a little bit clunky, but the crosshair was huge. So you basically just aimed the beach ball sized reticle at the thing you would like to not be alive.
Excellent.
So, yeah. All right, cool. Let's see what we got here. I'm going to go ahead and play. I'm going to put munitions on the board. And I have more than enough to get the Crusader built. So I'll tap, 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 tap. That's five. Mr. Crusader is in my construction area, all built.
And you can also repair that hammer as well if you tap because you have a symbol.
Yes, sir. I will go ahead and do that. And I think I may build. I don't have quite enough resources to get the Hunchback built.
You've already used your deployments, so you put a logistics down.
Oh, okay, gotcha. The deployments are good to go. Okay, so I can't build the cavalry. I don't think I can, right?
Yeah, not yet.
Okay, I would have to wait until next turn. Okay, then. Yeah, I think. What should I do? I was thinking about assigning the Shadowhawk to guard the stockpile, possibly.
Excellent. And remember, anything that's guarding a thing doesn't have to tap to guard it. And so I could send, as long as he survives, he can block wave after wave of attack.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a new rule. If you're playing old rules, that doesn't happen. But
sweet.
We did that partly to kind of get rid of this swarm mechanic, because a lot of times people would just get lots of cheap mechs. So let's say if I had 8 cheap mechs on the board, and you only have 4 mechs on the board, I could just attack one at a time, 1-1-1, and then No matter what you do, 4 of those mechs are going to get through because you'll be all tapped out by the time I get there. And so it was a way to just kind of overwhelm with numbers, and it was just kind of weird that a mech that was supposedly assigning something could only block one locust and not 6 locusts. It's been a way for us to kind of get away from that, those decks that are just all cheap, fast units, and kind of bring it a little bit more to the curve where you're seeing a lot more medium and heavy mechs on the table.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think I'm going to attack. I need to play a little bit defensively until I can get some more units on the board. So I think I will go ahead and that'll be it.
I will untap and draw. We'll tap my field repair unit during my repair reload phase to repair 1 damage to my Griffin. And then I will tap a resource during my to use my assembly to repair another one. So that field, usually you can only repair one a turn. But the field repair unit gives you a little extra, so I can repair 2. I did not draw any units. I do have a lot of missions. Got a lot of cheap stuff on the table.
Yeah.
I will... I still got that big boy and the imp, though. Let's go ahead and keep bowling you. We'll send that imp and Griffin again. Send those at your stockpile.
All right. So here, you're doing 1 damage plus a missile with the Griffin, and 6 damage plus a missile and possibly overheating with the imp.
Correct.
Okay. I guess we will try to. I will have to try and block with. I'm going to have to try and block with the hammer, because if it gets through to the Shadowhawk, I mean, that's one thing, but I got to at least try to intercept. Let's try and block with that. And with the cavalry. What the hell?
All right. So I have 1 initiative for my tactics. You have 0, so you will assign damage first.
Okay. So let's see what we got. 6, 7. 7 to start with. right?
Are you, so who's blocking? You have your cavalry, your hammer. Is your Shadowhawk blocking as well?
Well, by, I guess by default, yeah.
Yes. No, it does. It doesn't have to be default. So you could basically intercept me before I reach the Shadowhawk if you just want to block with the cavalry and the hammer. I was just asking.
That's what I'm doing. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm trying to block with the two units I have. They're basically going to die.
Got it. So you've got two attack on oath. So you got four damage you can deal. So yeah. So four, and you can assign it however you want.
Four damage. Okay. Let's go. Let's aim it at the griffin.
Got it. And I am going to, let's see, I've got six, seven. All right, let's deal five from the imp at the hammer. And then I've got one, two. I'm going to overheat the imp. Give me plus two, so I will deal another three to the cavalry, and then I will use my missile for the griffin and the imp to send out your stockpile. So I'll roll two damage. One, two, zero, big nothing. All right, but stockpile survives, but
right, yep. But my mechs do not. All right, so he goes there. He goes there.
All right. I am now going to send my Crusader at your stockpile.
Okay. So initiative wise, I need to divvy up the damage first. And that would be, I got one armor and one structure. So that would be one damage, and my guy does two, so that would just be blocked by your armor.
Right, and then so I'm dealing my damage, so I'm going to deal, so I deal two, yeah, so I'll deal two to you. I am going to overheat.
Okay.
For three, so that will give me three damage, because you already dealt me two. I will Alpha Strike, so this first time you use Alpha Strike, so what Alpha Strike does, this is another thing that's changed from the new rules to the old. In the old rules, if you Alpha Strike, you would turn your card over, and that would be called depleted. A depleted card can't do anything, and during your repair reload phase, you can turn it over, just like it's a normal tapped card. So it's basically taking the card out of the game for two turns. What we've done with that to change is Alpha Strike is essentially a token, and so by Alpha Striking, I'm going to put a generic counter on my card. So if I right-click on my card, I'll add the generic counter. That'll show that it has a depletion token, so it's used as Alpha Strike. So what that is going to say is that as long as I have that counter on, I cannot use Alpha Strike again. And the only way I can get that counter off is by paying one resource during the reload phase, or by reloading it during the reload phase.
Okay, so all right.
It is plus two, so I'm now dealing four damage to your Shadowhawks. So, and I will send the two missiles to your deck. And hope that I finally roll low. So you are, the Shadowhawk should only have three damage on it.
Left, yeah.
Three total. So you can take two of those counters off. And beside the damage button, there's a repair button. So you just click your repair button twice.
Okay.
There you go. You're all set. And then I'll roll two from two missiles. One, two, zeros. I'm statistically not happy here. All right. And he comes back.
What did you do to the dice, man?
I know, right?
Killed their dog, or
I mean, at least it rolled high for my risky combat jump, though it rolled a three, which would have been great for missiles. But all right,
this really is like the tabletop game.
All right, that is my turn. I will pass it back to you.
Sweet. All right, untap all. This guy goes up here. And we got to get some units on the field. So let's, I think the Hunchy's a good one.
I'm going to draw your two. Don't forget that one. You might get better.
Oh, I'm, yeah, that's probably important. All right.
Okay. So he's built. You have two deploys, correct?
Correct.
All right.
So I would lean toward either that headhunter. And the good thing about the headhunter is once you construct it, it goes immediately into deployment. So you could put it on your Crusader right away. Mm-hmm. The other option would be the Wraith. The Wraith is going to be tricky because you don't have tactics yet, so you're going to have to pay six for it.
Yeah.
But actually, I think you actually could pay for that because your advanced manufacturing techniques, if you have five counters on it, one, two, three, that wouldn't work. So you'd need one more.
Or it would cost me five if I use Janos Merrick's Legacy, I think.
Yeah, but Janos, you need politics and you don't have any politics in place.
Oh, I have no politics on the board.
Damn. Yeah, he's going to cost a lot.
Right. Okay. Then, okay. I mean, the Crusader doesn't start out with doing that much damage. I'm not sure how much the Headhunter would help on that anyways. I think I need to repair too. Let's go ahead and repair this guy if possible.
So for repair, you can only repair one total per turn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So the only reason, gotcha, I was able to do two is because I had a card that actually lets me repair. But yeah.
Okay. All right. And I do have four resources, so I could. Let's see here. Don't have tactics on the board, so that would be a little bit more expensive. Let's at least try and get. So I need to turn over the Wraith, right? And then I would add four construction tokens onto it, right?
Yep.
Okay. Pilot plus three initiative. Prevent one damage to mech piloted by a Grey Death pilot. Use this ability only during a mission. Okay. I think that is about all for now. I need to. Yeah, I think that's all for now. Yeah.
I'll untap, draw two. Stinger. Throw the stinger on. I'll tap a card to activate, and that gives me a chance to draw a card when I activate it. And we'll play a tactics with my other deployment. I will tap to repair one to my, repair one to my Griffin. And then let's go. I'll attack my imp and my griffin, my good old buddies here, at your stockpile.
All right. So let's go ahead and block with the Crusader. You're doing 6-7 damage before any missiles or overheating or anything?
Correct.
Right. Okay, so that would be what, 5 damage to the, well, hold on, what else does he have here? AP1, what is this? Deals 1 damage to any target other than a unit?
Yeah, so that's good if you're attacking a stockpile or it's also good for the battle armor, I think. Mm-hmm. The battle armor, I think, is considered a unit now, though it wasn't originally. But yeah, it's good for like attacking stockpile. So if you attack stockpile, you would do 3 instead of 2 damage to it.
Okay, cool. And maybe I'll do can I do an Alpha Strike in defense?
You sure can.
Yeah, I think I will. Good generic counter on that guy. Okay, so first off, I need to register the damage, which is like what, 5? 5, I think.
So, well, you've only overheated, so you've only done 1 to yourself so far. So, you okay. want to wait until I assign damage to the rest, and now you have 4. You have 4 regular attack and 2 missile attack to assign my direction.
Okay, 4 regular attacks. What the heck? Let's aim at let's aim at the Griffin.
Yep.
So 2 of those takes him out of the match, I think.
3, because he still has the armor.
Guy. Oh right. I keep forgetting that. Okay. Yes. 3 mm-hmm. takes him out of the match, and then 4. So just 1 would be blocked, I guess, by the imp. And then I guess I roll what, 2d6?
Correct.
And it's 3 and, through 6 is a miss.
Yep. And you want to assign where it's going first. So presumably you're shooting them both at the imp, but you would declare that before you roll the die. And then once you roll the die, the damage is assigned.
Okay. Then, both of those missiles will be aimed at the imp. So 2. So that does 2 damage.
Mm-hmm. So you're up to 3.
Okay. And Animus.
Okay. So over to me.
You take that armor.
Take that armor. I'm going to play. Where am I going to play? Yeah, let's do that. I'm going to play Heroic Sacrifice, and I'm going to overheat my imp for +2 attack and long range 1. So that means I'm going to double the damage taken to the imp. So that's your 3 plus my 3 is 6. So I'm going to take 12 damage, but I get to assign all of my damage to the stockpile, the target of my attack. So I'm going to deal 6. 7,
are you kamikazeing here?
8, is that 9. I just want to finally do damage to your stockpile. It's going to happen one way or another. I must do it. So that's going to be 9 damage to your stockpile. I'm going to take 12. So that is 12 minus 3 and 9 gets through to my structure.
All right.
The Griffin will do 1 damage to your Crusader and then 1 missile damage. And watch this be the one time I roll. Nothing, of course. Good thing that imp is here. All right, so the imp did 9. So the way you want to take the damage is there's a couple different ways. So beside the draw card button, there's a scrap a card button. So you can hit that 9 times.
Scrap a card button?
Yep, right by the draw
card. Hit that 9 times?
Yep.
Okay. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Perfect. And now another way to do it is if you right click on the board, or not on the board, sorry, if you right click on your
stockpile. And the missiles go past the defender, right?
Yep.
Yeah, right.
So if you right click on your stockpile button, it'll say, at the bottom, it'll say move. And that's a way to move cards from your stockpile to scrap heap. So if you don't feel like going to scrap a card a bunch of times, you can do it that way as well.
Okay, cool.
You would just move from the top of your stockpile to the top of your scrap heap.
Gotcha.
So the Crusader took 1 more damage from the Griffin. The Griffin is finally dead. The imp is limping. Limping imp. Back to the patrol region. And we're good. And so, yeah, 1 more damage on the Crusader, and we're all settled.
Okay, 1 more. There we go. Perfect. So he's taken 2.
And then I'm going to... do I want to do that? All right, I will move my wasp up and pass, actually. Do another. Yeah, I'm going to move my wasp up and pass the turn back to you. And your hunchback is in the patrol as well, because it moved up at last turn.
Yeah, that's right. Cool. What a bizarre card. Knights of the Inner Sphere. Whenever an opposing unit is scrapped from play, if Knights of the Inner Sphere is untapped, you may allow that opponent to restock that unit after scrapping it. If you do so, put a chivalry counter on Knights of the Inner Sphere. And this has the effect of one of your units getting plus X attack, where X is the number of chivalry counters. That's interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah, that is a weird one.
So you're all basically right. Giving your opponent a life.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, so that makes sense. That could make sense.
It could. I mean, it's a default bonus to your attack for one particular mech. That's weird. Okay. Oh, let's see here. Think Tank. What does Think Tank do again? Okay. Scrap with this that card to choose any asset. You have that asset available for the rest of the game. Use this ability on your turn or during a mission on any opponent's turn.
That would be a great way to get tactics into the game for you. Or politics. You do politics or tactics.
Yeah.
You don't really have missions here, so you don't really need tactics so much other than to pay for things like the Headhunter. But actually, you need it for knights too. I would put tactics. That way, you can get the headhunter and the knights of the inner sphere out on the table.
This is a zero cost, so let's go ahead and so you would just go to the stockpile and reveal all and find it.
Nope, you don't have to find it. Basically, you just scrap it and you have it. So it just you just pick it, and then we just know we got to remember that you have whatever asset moving forward. And one of the good things about that is you can't scrap it after you use it for a resource, so you can use it to pay for something and then scrap it.
So to get what tactics? How do we mark that I have a tactics on the board?
So my favorite way, I'm going to pull this Think Tank out. I'm going to pull it out and just put it on your board. And if you right click on it, you can add a note. So it says edit note. And then I usually just type in tactics and then add that note to the card. And that way the card is out of play, but I know that it says tactics.
Okay. All right, then.
And now you have a Wraith that's paid for because now you have tactics. You can actually, one thing we can go back during your repair reload phase, which happens before your deploy phase. So let's just pretend you haven't done that tactics yet. Okay. You can reload your Crusader just by paying one resource. So just go ahead and tap a card and you can remove that generic counter from your Crusader. And then you can also tap a card to pay to repair. So you can repair either the Crusader or the Shadowhawk.
Do the Crusader first. And this guy's already paid for.
Perfect. So and then you got one more deployment, so just pick which one you want to put out there.
Yeah, let's see here. I guess we shall finally get the cavalry there. And that's just a one, right?
Yep, just one now that you have.
And I have a tactic, so I'm good on that. So just one. So that's built. It's just not in patrol yet.
Correct.
All right. Let's attack. I'm gonna go for let's attack the stockpile. Let's attack the stockpile with the hunchback. Actually, we can both attack. He's only got one damage. Let's attack. Both of these guys are going to attack. I'm going to attack the stockpile, or at least aim at it.
All right, let's go.
And I'm going to rock Alpha Strike for the Hunchback does +3 attack. Yeah. So
it's So wait for me. I'll deploy them. I'll tell you where I'm blocking first, and then we can start assigning stuff.
Gotcha.
So I am going to I'll block with my Crusader, and I will block. I'll block with the Crusader and the Hoplite, though the Hoplite doesn't need to tap, but the Crusader does. So the Crusader will run over from Troll and block. So I'm blocking with the Hoplite and the Crusader. We both have tactics in play now, so now it's a tie that you win. So now I have to deploy or declare first. Mm-hmm. So I have one. I will Alpha Strike the Hoplite to deal two. The Crusader can't Alpha Strike because it's already depleted. So it is 4 damage total, and I will deal 4 damage to the Crusader.
Okay.
I do have a mission. Let me see if I have a mission I can play, though.
So that'd be 2 damage on this guy?
I don't have anything good. Yes, 2 gets through. Perfect. You got it.
All right. Then who are we going to aim at first? I think let's try and focus fire, very important in battle tech. Let's go for both of them will target the Crusader first. So let's see, 2 to start with, plus 3 with the Alpha Strike.
We got 5. He needs what, 1? He needs 7 to kill him. So
5 to start with, and gosh, and he's got missiles. Okay, so this would be, and then the Crusader would do 4 with an Alpha Strike, plus 2 missiles. So, okay, so 8 in all, 8 damage in all to assign to start with.
So you have 5 from the Hunchback, 6-7 Crusader, 8-9 after you, if you Alpha Strike and overheat. And then you also get 2 missiles, which you can either assign as another 2 damage or send them at the stockpile.
Okay. So 9 to start with, aimed at the Crusader.
Okay. I think that he only takes only takes 7 to kill. So I would just do 7.
Okay. 7 to start. Right. 7 to start. Well, you know what I mean. Yeah. There will be overlap, spill damage. let's go 7 on him and do the remaining 2 to the Hoplite.
You got it. The 1 gets through his armor, and then you got 2 missiles to do with as you please.
Okay, dice gods, don't fail me now.
1 to stockpile.
1. Animus.
So, okay. Look at that. I scrapped Natasha Kerensky.
Oh, get out of here, Mary Sue.
Brutal.
The only way that could have made me feel better is if it was Alaric Ward or something.
Oh, all boy. Right,
cool. All right, cool.
My Crusader is out. And and so you've got a generic counter on your Crusader.
Yes.
Otherwise, we're all settled.
There we go. And I'll throw it over to you.
And you can move your Wraith and your Cavalry up.
Yeah.
I'll draw. All right. I'll tap 1 to reload my Hoplite. I'll tap 1 to repair 1 for my Imp. I'll tap a second 1 for my normal repair. And then let's move to deploy phase. I will deploy a Archer 2W. Got a Wolf Dragon's unit. Deploy a Stinger. I'll pay for the Stinger and draw a card, which is another resource which I'll play. Now I have to pay 4 for the Archer. 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Stinger. Look at that boxy bastard.
Mm-hmm. Good old loose artwork.
Right?
I do not like the new Stinger. It's one of the few new sculpts I don't care for. The Stinger, yeah. The Lost, Penis Octa. My least favorite is the new Archer.
How do you feel about what they just did to the Black Knight?
I'm not. I always liked, you know, the asymmetrical shield on the one shoulder. I kind of liked. I kind of miss it.
It's a classic looking mech. I like the old black thing. Yeah, I do. I see the need to update, but I do like the classic Lanark.
Yeah.
All right. What do we got? All right. I got a bully that needs to do bully things. So I will send him. He's missing his Griffin partner. Who wants to take the spot? We just got a bunch of little guys. Let's send him solo. All right, Imp coming in solo at your stockpile. You are a Hunchback and Crusader stay tap though for this phase. So.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, they don't attack the next.
All right. So we want to go ahead and I see why that would be. So they can't just block because they're already engaged. Right. That makes sense. All right, then. See what we can do here. I have. I could go ahead and. What the hell's the Shadowhawk there if not to block? I'll have the Shadowhawk go ahead and block.
Okay.
That's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. All right.
I'm going to play a mission.
All right.
I'm going to play a forged mission orders.
What does that do?
Which pulls you out of the battle.
Pulls who out of the battle?
Pulls you out of the battle. So play only when blocked. Choose any blocking unit. Remove that unit from battle and untap it.
Okay. So So where do you put it?
No, he stays there. He's just not blocking me anymore. So basically I got a clean shot at your stockpile.
Okay.
I will overheat for 3 to deal 8 plus a missile. And I will roll for my missile because statistically it has to do it, even though that's not how statistics works. But there you go, 2. So okay. That is 10 damage to your stockpile.
10. Yeah, holy shit. 10. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All right.
Got it. And then that is my turn. I will move up my stinger and move up my archer and pass it to you.
All right, sweet. Let's see here. We untap all. We go ahead and draw 2 cards. Cicada! Hey, aerospace fighter mission. What does this do? Scrap this card when it's revealed. Choose any number of units and or sites and deal 5 damage to them, divided in any way you choose. So basically just an orbital strike. That's pretty cool. Oh, man. You got a favorite aerospace fighter, sir?
Ooh.
I can't ever keep their name straight, and I've played Aerotech quite a bit.
I would say probably the Corsair. I think that's a cool looking, kind of got that like Battlestar Galactica style look to it.
I do like that. I like the junkier looking aerospace fighters, not so much the ones that look like G.I. Joe fighter jets.
Yeah.
All right. Agreed.
Okay, the one on the cover of Aerotech is a nice looking unit. I like that.
Oh, man, Aerotech is one of the coolest boxes for BattleTech for sure.
Have you seen Florian's updated art for that?
No, I haven't.
No, it looks beautiful. I'll have to send you the file.
Oh man, I'm gonna have to see that. Okay. All right. How are we gonna do this? I need to repair some stuff. You can only do one point of repair like per turn, right?
Correct. And you can also reload. So you also want to reload before your deploy phase. So tap 1 and you can pick either your Hunchback or your Crusader to reload. Now, the good thing about munitions with the new munitions, and this is kind of like an eroded form that we use for League, is that you can do it during your repair reload phase and your opponent's repair reload phase. And so you can get that Crusader reloaded before I can attack. Just not this turn.
Just not until you start. All right.
Right. And then you can tap one more to repair one to either your Crusader or your Shadowhawk.
I think we will repair the... I'll repair the Shadowhawk, actually. All right. And what else we can do here? I got some fellers on the field. I'll go ahead and... I have an assembly on the field, so I can go ahead and build the cicada.
Perfect. And you have enough for to get that Knights of the Inner Sphere out, too. You can pay that 3 for the politics.
I was thinking about the if I played that, I can't do more than one, right? Like if I did Knights of the Inner Sphere, I couldn't also do Janos, Merrick's Legacy, or Aerospace Fighter, or
right, just one.
Okay,
you still got the Headhunter. That's a good card. I would put it on something.
Yeah.
It'd be a good way to take out that imp for sure.
Okay, how would I do that? Walk me through that. So I would just pay for it with one, so I'd need to tap one of these boys.
All right.
And then I would just assign it to a mech.
Right. You can assign it to any mech that's in the patrol region.
Okay. Let's give it to the Wraith. Give it to the Wraith. All right, because he hasn't done anything yet. Why not?
And he is fast, so if he attacked, the only person who could block would be the Hoplite.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be a good way to pick off a mech.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking I'm going to go ahead and attack the stockpile with the Wraith. So that'd be 3 to 3 attack to start with, correct? And
3 plus, and then plus 1, yeah, with the Headhunter. And then
4.
Yeah. So I will block with the Hoplites. I will Alpha Strike to deal 2 damage to you.
Okay. So that would be blocked 1 armor and then 1 damage.
Yep. And then you got 4. So again, you can roll for each of those, or you can just sign them straight. I would definitely roll.
Gives you a yeah, that's what I'm thinking. For 4 damage from you.
Yeah. 4 damage okay. To me. Yep. To me. Or 4 die rolls.
Or 4 die rolls. Okay.
So... Or you could do 2 die roll, 2 and 2. It's up to you, but
okay. Result 2. Prevent that damage?
Yep.
Okay. Prevent that damage. And 2.
More.
And then I'll just leave the other 2.
Okay.
Is that good?
Sounds good. 1 gets through my armor. And that's it. So you can go on as many missions as you want. So you can keep attacking until you don't want to attack. Just remember that if you send everyone at me, then you're undefended when it's my turn.
Yeah, that's a good point. What to do? Hunchy, I'll leave the Hunchy alone. Let's go with, let's have the cavalry do something for a change. Attack your stockpile.
Okay.
Yeah. That's just a base 2 damage. Or wait. Can't block me without, what is this? VTOL.
So remember, he has, I can't block with any patrolling, but he's already extra fast because that ability got bumped. So I can only block with the Hoplite, which I will. The Hoplite can only do 1 damage, so he'll do his 1 damage, and then you're doing 2 to me. So I'm taking 1 to my armor, 1 to my structure, and he's down to 4.
Sweet! And I think... Now,
since you are a vehicle, though, you do have to roll, and if you roll a 5 or 6, he's out.
Oh, I see. Oh, if you're damaged, you have to roll. I see. Sorry, I didn't read that.
You're safe.
Yeah, he's alive. Get to the chopper.
I shared that Predator with my girlfriend a couple months ago. She had never seen it. I was like, we got to rectify that.
Stick around.
She enjoyed it, though. She did sleep through the middle half of it. Oh my god.
Oh dear. I don't know
what it is with girls and sleeping through movies, but
right. I don't know what that's about. Okay.
Oops.
Whoopsie.
Ignore that. Untap. Draw. I'm not drawing cards that help me, but I will deploy them. Actually, before I deploy them, I will go ahead and do some. I will repair. Let's repair the imp. Let's reload the hoplites. And remember, you can reload on this phase as well. So if you have an extra, you have plenty of resources. So if you want to tap a resource, you can remove that counter on your
priest. Yeah, I was going to go ahead and do that.
Perfect. And then I'll do my normal repair. I'll do it against the hoplite. All right. And then I have two deployments. Let's go one, two. No extra mechs this turn. Let's send the imp in with my archer for the attack.
Archer, I'm the one playing Merrick. What the
fuck? Your stockpile.
All right. Let's see. I like the archer. Let's see here. Okay. So how do we do initiative wise? Who's dealing? Figuring up damage first.
So we both got one, so we're tied, so you lose the tie, so you do first. Well, are you blocking?
Decide if you're going to block, yeah. I would like to block with, let's try and block with the... Let's try and block with the Hunchback, and... And the Crusader.
All right. All right, you first.
Okay, so what are we doing here? I'm assigning the damage I do to you first? Or the damage you do to me?
No, okay. You're assigning your damage to me first.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. Then I'm going to go ahead and alpha strike like a demon. And that'll be 4 plus. Yes. Okay, well, let's start with the Crusader. I'll do 4 with that. And we'll start out by aiming at the imp, so that would be 1 damage that gets through automatically.
Okay.
And then I need to roll 2 missiles.
4 more. Yeah, you can roll 2 missiles. Remember, you can also assign them as straight damage if you want, so it's your choice. Gamble or play safe.
Oh, so that it can be missile 2 damage or roll twice?
Correct. Yeah, you can use your missile as just 2 regular damage, or you can roll for it and potentially get 6.
I'm going to do 2. I'm going to take the sure bet and just kill you, because you're at 9, right?
I'm at 7 now, and then 2 more.
Oh, you're at 7. Okay, never mind. Sorry, I thought you were at 9. I couldn't see
the bottom of your card. So you have 2 more from your hunchback, and we'll kill it.
Yeah, okay. So you're at 9 now?
I'm at 9, yep.
Okay. 9999. And then the hunchback will also aim at him, and that'll start with 2, so that'll kill him.
Yep.
And then he gets an additional 3 that he divvies over to, I suppose, the archer, and so one of those would get through to your structure.
Okay, and I will...
And now the pain on my side.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to double overheat my imp. So he's going to deal 9
double overheat
with 2 long range. So the long range allows me to apply the damage straight to the stockpile. So yeah. I'm going to do that 9. So 6 to, I'll go 6 to your hunchback and 2 to your stockpile plus a missile. I'll roll for the missile as a 4. The dry streak continues.
So that would be, you said 6 to the hunchback, so that would be 5 all told.
Mm-hmm. And then 2 damage went to the stockpile directly.
Okay. Yeah. Or wouldn't that be auto-blocked by the...
No,
it wouldn't, because yeah, it's a missile. It's yeah. a long... Yeah. Oh, right. Cool.
Yeah, the long range represents things like ER, PPCs, Gauss rifles, just with their extra range. And then... the imp is dead. I'll go ahead and remove him. Then the archer, I will double overheat the archer. So he does 3 more damage, 1, 2, 3, which gives him 4 base attack and 3 missiles. So I'm going to deal 2 more to the hunchback to kill it.
Okay.
And then 2 to the crusader,
which is blocked by the armor. And then what, missiles?
And the Crusader did Alpha Strike, right? So he has an overheat Alpha Strike. So he already took 3 damage. Or would have taken 3.
Okay.
So he's taken 3. So, yeah, he should take 3 structure. And then I have 3 missiles.
Should be up to 6?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I'm sending 3 missiles at your stockpile. 1, 2, 3. That's what? No way.
Bro, all the right. dice what, gods are pissed at you
what
today.
What sacrifice did you make before this? Oh my gosh.
I knew those blood sacrifices to Moloch before the game would pan out for me.
All right. That attack is done. I don't really feel like sending my light mechs to headbutt your Shadowhawk. So I will pass the turn.
All right.
So after you untap and draw, remember that's your reload and repair phase. So that's when you want to get rid of that depletion counter and repair something.
Okay. So we'll go ahead. Oh, first off, we'll draw 2 cards for crying out loud. Okay. Tap that for a reload. And tap this for a repair, my poor crusader. And see here.
And note that cicada is up in your line because it moved up.
It should there. Be up in my line, yeah. Let's go ahead and get a flea ready to go.
And so if you read that flea, that gives you an extra deployment. And so you still got 2 deployments that you can make.
Okay. How about... Oh, man. So this aerospace fighter mission with the 5P, does that make it cost 5 or does that add 5?
That adds 5.
Holy Toledo.
Yeah.
So without
politics, nine without mine.
Holy buckets.
Do you have politics in your deck somewhere?
Oh my God. I don't think so. I don't know. No, I don't know.
Novice deck building mistake.
I know. I have no idea. All righty. What is heavy fog? Okay, each attacking unit gets -2 attack. The attacking player prevents up to 2 damage to each attacking unit. So this could be good if I come under withering fire.
Yeah, if I send like a big attack group at you, that's what that's really good for.
Okay. Because
it basically reduces all of my units, but you could concentrate all your fire on one, and it's still only going to reduce that damage by 2. And so it's a way for you to... reduce my punch and allow yourself to concentrate fire and take out somebody online.
Yeah, it's not bad. All right. Politics, pilot.
Yeah, that was one of the few missions to feature in the initial World Championship decks for the first couple of years, actually.
The Great Eth Legion pilot there with the Cicada. And because that Cicada has only three structure. And see here, I think well, I don't have much of anything to play, really. Then I will go ahead and I'll need to launch some kind of assault. Let's go.
I have a lot of units, but not a lot of mass there.
Yeah. Well, oops. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to attack with the Wraith your stockpile there.
Okay.
Which would have a plus one attack with the Headhunter.
Yep. I'll block with the Hoplite. It's all I can block with because none of my other units are fast. And I will deal, I will outstrike to deal two damage to your Wraith.
Oops. Okay, so that would be automatically one damage to structure. And okay, what does that do to you? That's my I do four with the headhunter attack. Okay. Did that get through? Did you divvy that up?
I haven't yet. You're just doing straight damage, no rolls.
Oh.
So if you do four, I'm still going to be alive. If you roll four times, you got a 2/3 chance of killing me.
Yeah. So you can basically either do four or you can roll three times.
You can roll four times. Yeah. And then you might do end up doing less damage, but you might, if you roll a six, you know, I'm just dead straight out.
Okay. All right. Well, let's roll four times. What the hey? Let's go ahead.
Gamble. All
right. Maybe. All right.
You got my dice. There's a good chance.
Uno. Which does prevents the damage.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Actually, what is that? What does four do again? No effect. All right. Five.
Okay.
And. Damn it!
All right.
The dice gods were angry that day, my friends.
So you only lost one damage out of that.
Yeah. And let's see here.
So you also got, you got your Cicadas fast. I can't block him. Your cavalry is fast. I can't block him.
Yeah, I'm going to attack him. I'm going to attack the stockpile with the Cicada to start with.
And if you attack with both, remember, the good thing about doing with both is my armor is only going to work once. If you attack independently, my armor is going to replenish each time. So if you attack...
That's a good point. That's a good point. Okay, yeah. We'll attack in unison, and that'll leave at least my Crusader to absorb any attack next turn, plus the Shadowhawk.
So I'll deal my one damage to the cavalry. I'll see if I can force him to roll a five or six, but otherwise you're dealing four to me and I'm dead.
Okay. Nope.
All right.
And the Cicada there is doing two damage to the stockpile?
Yep. Nope. So you did four to my mech, which destroyed it. So the hoplite's dead now.
Altogether. So the hoplite's gone, but no damage to the stockpile. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Actually, it looks like I put it in your stuff, though. All right.
And yeah, that'll be it.
Let's drop top one to repair with my field repair unit and one to repair normally. So that's two on the archer. Drop a logistics. I'll drop a firefly. I'll pay two for that. One, two. And then, my big boy is dead. You only got eight life left. I've got to get some missiles through to you. So let's go. Let's send the archer in. Archer into your stockpile.
Three plus what? Alpha strike or missiles or?
Yep. Who are you blocking with?
I was going to say, like, should using missiles even be an option with the archer? Isn't it just made of missiles? Like, it's like a missile on legs.
Yeah, that's a trick with figuring out the costing. You just got to figure out, like, what goes to base attack, what goes to overheat alpha strike. But with this one, it was usually if they have a limited amount of ammunition, that's when it goes into alpha strike. So, like, this mech only has, I think, 12 reloads for its LRM, so...
Okay, so I guess Shadowhawk is the default to block unless you're faster than me.
No,
are you?
I'm slow.
You're slow.
So you could block with both if you want.
So I'm blocking, and that will get two damage in to my structure by default. And then you're doing what? Alpha strike, and well, what are you doing?
So I will alpha strike. I'll overheat both and alpha strike. So that'll give me plus one attack. So one more to your Shadowhawk, and then I'll send three missiles at your stockpile.
Okay.
And if I can finally roll well, that might end the game. One, two, three. Oh, there we go. Oh,
there you go. Finally. Right. Jesus Christ. All
one
right. So that's
out of,
a,
what,
one?
30 missiles in this game? Yeah. Three damage to your stockpile.
Oh, and you killed my archer. Bastard.
Two more damage to stockpile. So since I rolled two
more?
Three, yeah, since I rolled a three, it does three damage.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Damn it. Sorry, I didn't mean to draw a card. I meant to scrap a card.
No worries.
how do I fix that?
On from your hand, just drag it over to the scrap heap tag and drop it in there. With both of them.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
Nice and easy. Easy fix. All right. Let's we need a final push here. Let's send when do I need to kill that Shadowhawk? He has four hit points left. One, two, three. All right, let's send a little attack group here. Two stingers and a hornet at your stockpile.
All the fucking flight of the bumblebees here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what are we? That's at the stockpile. So four damage altogether.
Yep. Well, okay. One, two. Yeah, four damage.
Four damage, which that'll kill the Shadowhawk.
Yeah.
That'll kill the Shadowhawk. Does he get to counterattack before that? Or...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you deal your damage first, so you can pick who you want to. So I got two killable stingers there.
Yeah. Yep, let's pick one of the stingers there. I'll aim at one of them, and that'll take them off the board.
All right, so one stinger dead, your Shadowhawk dead. All right, what do I want to do now? Okay, I can, I think I might have you. So let's attack your stockpile with my wasp.
All right.
And that is one.
Where's the wasp at? Okay, that's one. And I'll block. What's up?
Actually, I can't. No,
slow.
I didn't even see that you have a flea out there. So
flea,
you,
I do have a flea. Yeah, so you're right, I forgot to move it up.
All right, well, let me rethink that since you have a flea. I won't attack. In that case, I will move up my Firefly and pass the turn.
Okay. Hey, Phoenix Lock. Alrighty.
I think Phoenix Hawk is the mech I picked for my kind of my avatar and BattleTech. Not that I ever get to do role playing, but
I've been in love with the Phoenix Hawk since because I'm a big Merit guy, a big Knights of the Inner Sphere guy. Paul Masters' mech was a Phoenix Hawk. I love the legendary they did in MWO with that. The Paul Masters mech.
I'll have to look it up. I haven't seen it. I'll send you.
It's called Rock. It's the Rock. White and gold paint scheme. The white and gold legendary. That they got.
I remember seeing that.
Oh, it's awesome.
I have a gorgeous miniature that Oliver from 1N51 on Twitter painted for me. I'll send you a picture of it. It's gorgeous. It uses one of the Mini Tech miniatures. Old Phoenix Hawk sculpt, it's gorgeous. I'll share it on the screen here for people watching too.
I like the new Phoenix Hawk from Catalyst, the new miniature. Nice. Oh yeah, I like it a lot. I painted one in the Knights of, I painted a whole Knights of the Inner Sphere Lance, and the Phoenix Hawk was at the head of that, but it turned out really well. Awesome. All right, cool. So speaking of which, let's get the Phoenix Hawk going. Let's repair that. And boy, I wish I had politics on the board. I thought I had taken some out, but apparently not. It might have gotten scrapped. I don't know. Okay, I'm gonna focus fire on your stockpile. I'm gonna go ahead and attack with my cicada. I'm gonna attack with my let's see here. What do I want to use? I want to attack with my Crusaders.
Any fast units. So if you attack with only fast units in a group, I won't be able to block it. But if you put put a slower unit in, then I can block at the speed of the slowest unit.
Right. And I've got a few fasties.
Yeah, the only drawback of attacking in groups is things like the heavy fog mission card, because it can reduce all the ones in the group. But a way around that would actually be if you just attack my stockpile one at a time with your fast units. That would be the best way to do it.
Yeah. And there's no automatic defender, so I might just do that. So I'll go ahead and attack to start with the cicada.
Okay.
Just with a basic, he's got two. He does two damage.
So I'm taking two. One, two.
All right. And then I will go ahead and attack with the Wraith as well.
Five, huh?
I'll
take the five. One, two, three, four, five.
All right. And then, what the hey? Cavalry will attack as well. That'll leave me with at least one speedy defender.
I'm going to throw a heavy fog out to reduce that attack by two.
Okay, so nothing.
Nothing there.
All righty. And I think that's all I need to do for this particular turn.
So you want to, before you What's do, up? Since What's your up? Crusader is slow, and I have a lot of moderate mechs, you'll want to go ahead and put that Crusader by your stockpile so you can block, because otherwise I'm just going to run around you to attack.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Thank you.
And then you can move, make sure you move that Phoenix Hawk up as well. So he's out on your
patrol. After, at the end of my turn, yeah.
You got it.
Cool. All
right. Untap all. Draw, draw. Oh, at least I get to finish with something cool. One, two.
Do it!
Black Lady on the board, even though her pilot...
What? Even though, yeah, Natasha's nowhere to be found. It's a nameless stormtrooper jabroni piloting it.
All right. This will be my final push, I believe. Let's see if the missiles can do it for me. Sending him the Archer.
Okay.
And let's see, Archer. Yeah. All right. Just send him the Archer solo. To your stockpile.
Okay. The missiles will get through either way if they connect. So, and he does a base of 3 damage. Are you, you're alpha striking as well?
I am alpha striking. Yeah, I forgot the counter, but I also had plenty to pay for it. So,
okay. So, that'd be 4 to start with. Okay, 4, then.
4 plus, and then I'll send 3 missiles at your stockpile and cross my fingers.
All right, let me block you with the Phoenix Hawk.
Okay.
So that would be 3 damage to me. And it would be 4 damage to you.
4, so that will kill me. 1, 2, 3, 4. And... all right, and then I am throwing 3 missiles at your stockpile.
Okay.
1, 2.
Oh!
Oh, look, there's all my rolls.
Holy shit! I was wondering, what the hell? There. Well, that's game.
That's game. That's game.
Good shit, man. Good stuff. All right. I had a blast doing this, dude. This is freaking nostalgia trip.
We'll have to do it again. We'll do it again.
Yes, tomorrow. We will. Yes, we will. I had, you know, it's a good game when you have fun losing.
There you go.
Right on, man.
Yeah, we'll do a stream. I'm not comfortable with live yet, but I think, you know, I'll post this up. Maybe next time we can do a live one and have some fun with it. But that'll be good.
Yeah, for sure. And I'll have to have my cam turned on and everything. I was thinking about maybe bring it. Maybe I could teach Taryn Gell how to play, or so he's also a big BattleTech fan.
The more the merrier.
I don't know.
We
how did this game work? Was it just a one-on-one game, or could it be multiple? I can't remember.
You can do multiple. I haven't done it on Lackey, but you can definitely have more than 2 players in. And so, yeah, I think it would just get cramped with the board, but it's definitely doable.
But
you can have as many players as you want. There's no limit to it. Wow,
that's cool. That's awesome, man.
It's fun. But we'll make it happen. I appreciate it. You know, hopefully we can get more people in. We run seasonal leagues, and so leagues are generally 9 games over the course of 3 months. And then I also run events every month that are just like 1-day events on the weekend. And we do sweet prizes. So the league, you get tons of prizes. You get signed cards from the artists and a lot of the custom cards that I've made. We've done play mats for people in the past and custom dice. And I like to give at least something out for the people doing the 1-day events each month. And usually I just print out some custom cards and mail it to people. So good stuff. Hope we can get more people involved. We'd love to see you in there. But and we'll have to play again soon. You know, get a little
definitely, dude.
Tweak out some decks and we'll make it happen.
All right. I'll check you later, man. I got to go.
Good night. Bye.
Yep. Take it easy. Thank you.